Where are we? The Apostolic Teaching Phase, Part 1. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on the evening of Saturday, the 16th of November 2019, at the November 2019 Convention at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. It is the first installment of a four-part message, giving us the present conditions of our world, and is the perfect foundation being laid for what will be an epic journey ahead. I greet everyone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I also want to greet all the saints online. May God bless you all. We have folks logging on this evening from 14 countries, Australia, China, Laos, Germany, the United Arab Emirates, Togo, Ghana, Uganda, the United Kingdom, Qatar, the Philippines, Canada, the United States, and from around Nigeria. May God give us a good internet connection. Bless our meeting tonight, and may He meet with us in a wonderful way. First, I want to appreciate the support and the love offerings of the saints from around the globe for this convention, as well as the support for the work that God has established here in Africa. I want to appreciate the sound engineers, the cameramen, all the brothers on the PA systems, the internet platform, and all the musicians, as well as all the brethren in charge of various services, those in the kitchen department, the brothers in charge of smooth movement of all the cars, electric generating systems, air conditioning systems, and those cleaning the toilets. Let me not forget those brethren in charge of setting up this meeting hall, those in charge of the hostels and hotels, as well as all the brothers transporting our visiting brethren to and from hotel and airport. Not forgetting every other department that is at work in this convention. May God bless you all. We appreciate you, and we thank you for all your sacrifice. I want to appreciate all the saints that are online, and all the saints that have made the sacrifice to be in these meetings from all around Nigeria, from Togo, from Benin Republic, from Ghana, from Niger Republic, from Uganda, from South Africa, from India, and the saints from the United States. We truly appreciate the sacrifice you have made to attend this convention, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I want to say that when Brother Jackson passed away in December 2004, I never knew 99% of the brethren that are gathered here tonight. All I knew as per December 2004 was just a handful of saints among you. The great work that God has established here in Africa after the death of Brother Jackson, which is a continuing message work, the continuing message of the Holy Bible, born in a medium called the Scribe magazine, is why you are all here today, and that is the truth. What you read in the Scribe magazine is what the Lord has used to draw all of you here. Incidentally, I saw a printer after this morning's service, and I want to tell him, if he is here tonight, that it is the Scribe your company has been printing for us that has drawn each and every one of the people you see here tonight. The Scribes you have been printing for a number of years now is the attraction that God has used to draw each of the saints that are here tonight, as well as the saints that are logging in online. And so, we thank God for this medium of truth, and we pray that God will richly bless it and continue to use it to serve His purpose, for the edification of the universal bride of Jesus Christ. We bless the Lord for His faithfulness, and for His immeasurable love and mercy towards us. Our two ministering brothers who preached yesterday morning and this morning have been used of God to lay a solid foundation for my message tonight, and it testifies to the fact that the Spirit of God is one, and that the revelation of God is also one. Like I said this morning after our brother's message, there is no doubt that unity of the faith is here. Unity in the divine revelation of the Holy Bible of Jesus Christ is here. If we have the money, or let me say it this way, if the children of God who are predominantly poor have the means to be here, under God, and by God's grace, we could put together a crowd that will stupefy the Branham movement in terms of perfect unity, revelatory unity, for it is in total contrast to the ecumenical movement that they have established in the Branham movement, all in the name of Brother Branham. I say this because in the Branham movement, you cannot get to pastors in any locality around this globe that believe the same thing on issues of truth. They may agree, but it is all a political arrangement Because nothing but total confusion exists in the Branham movement, where every pastor is an interpreter of the message, and a law unto himself and to his congregation. Confusion, Barbel, will never leave their domain, because the foundation of their faith is not the Holy Scriptures, it is not the Holy Bible, but the quotes of a man. And may I say this tonight, there are not enough quotes of any man that can establish a truth. For as it is written in John 17, where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed to God Almighty in verse 17, plainly declaring, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word alone is truth." That is precisely why the book of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, also records, "To the law, to any doctrine or teaching, and to the testimony." However great and fantastic the supernatural testimony might be, if they speak not according to this word of God, the Holy Scriptures, it is because there is no light in them. Period. They are simply devoid of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Absolutely. May I, therefore, say tonight that outside of the Holy Bible, there is no truth. Outside of the Holy Bible, there is no truth. You do not have enough quotes of any man, regardless of the measure of his anointing, and regardless of the supernatural display in his ministry, to establish one jot of truth, except it is solidly based on the Bible. Because the foundation of truth, revealed truth, all truth, God's truth, is the Holy Scriptures. It is the exclusive foundation for true inspired preaching and teaching, and the sole basis for true divine revelation. It is the absolute and the true believer's immovable type post. In total contrast, in the Branham movement, being an idolatrous people, their absolute are the quotes upon quotes of Brother Branham. And that is precisely why until the Lord comes for his elect bride, the word bride, they will still be fighting one another in their assemblies and conventions with the many quotes and counter-quotes of the prophet. They do not even have conventions anymore. They are conventions of utter confusion, conventions of Barbel, because they are tired, completely exhausted, having wearied themselves for nothing. It is as the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15 records, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city of God." In their conventions in those days, one preacher will come to the pulpit, give a quote, and take an issue to the north. Then another preacher will climb the same pulpit on the same issue, bring a quote of Brother Branham, and take that same issue to the south. Then yet another preacher will climb the pulpit, give another quote of the prophet, and take the same issue to the east. And the next preacher would also come, condemn all the other men, bring out his quote on the same issue, and take that issue to the west. And by the time it was all over, you did not know where you started, and neither did you know where you ended, for the meetings had no focus, no direction, and absolutely no spiritual value for any soul sincerely looking for God. And that is still the pathetic state of the Branham movement as we speak today. In total contrast, look at the men that have preached in these meetings. Come on! Brothers and sisters, you will all have to agree with me that there was no confusion in all the preached, only perfect harmony, revelational harmony, because the messages they bore all synchronized. They may not have preached to the same measure of ability, but one thing you cannot deny or take away is the fact that their understanding is the same and their revelation is one, and as such, there is no one that will tell me he is going home tonight confused about any issue, having listened to these brothers, and that is how it has been in our conventions. That is why I will reiterate this truth. You do not have enough quotes of William Branham to establish one truth of God. In his message dated the 18th of May 1960, titled Adoption, paragraph 234, the prophet declared, "If I preach to you just what Paul preached to his church, if his group gets in, ours will too, cause we got the same thing." Simply meaning, I preach what St. Paul preached. Because Apostle Paul laid the only foundation of the revealed faith of Jesus Christ, by which we Gentiles can be saved. Full stop. Therefore, anyone who preaches outside of the Holy Bible is most certainly not inspired by God. Any man that preaches outside of the Holy Bible has been inspired by the spirit of Lucifer, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. Hence, it is written in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we, the original apostles, have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say and I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received from us the original apostles, let him be accursed." Because as we stated earlier, the exclusive foundation for the truth of God is the inspired written word of God, for God's word alone is truth. Consequently, if a message or teaching is true, it is true because it fully aligns with the word of God, which is truth. And if a message or teaching is false, it is also false because it contradicts the Holy Scriptures. May I, therefore, warn all the men in the ministry, we have not been called to preach and defend quotes. We have been sent to lift up the Holy Bible, for we are to preach the Holy Bible and to defend this Holy Bible. The Branham movement can call us any names they want to. We care less for that. As long as they cannot take the Holy Bible and use it to tear down what we are standing for, they are just chattering squirrels, and chattering squirrels do not bother us. So, I make my point again. You do not have enough quotes of any man to establish a truth without the Word of God, without a Bible base, because only God's Word is truth. Moreover, to every quote of Brother Branham, there is a counter quote, because he spoke in duality on almost every issue of truth. Hence, to every quote, there is a counter quote. So, the question is, who is right when all of you have quotes of the same prophet? Quotes which oppose each other. You will have to come back to the only true foundation of revealed faith, which is the inspired written word of God. However, only the equals of God understand this absolute fact, and only the equals of God will accept this divine fact. I do not expect a vulture or a crow to accept this fact, and neither will dogs and pigs accept it, but only eagles will accept it. The Branham movement just do not realize that the Lord did not send the end-time Elijah to nullify or overturn the Holy Bible, but he was sent solely to restore us to the Holy Bible from which we derailed. Every true man of God that has been sent in defense of the Holy Word of God, the canonical scriptures, called the Holy Bible. Therefore, on the Holy Bible alone we stand. For as some of the reformers rightly declared during the Protestant Reformation, it is sola scriptura, meaning by scripture alone, because of a truth, the exclusive or sole, infallible, an immutable source of authority for true believers, all true believers, true Christians, is the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Consequently, if there is a truth in the sermon book, it is true because it is what the Holy Bible says. If there is a truth in the Contendo magazine, it is true because it is what the Holy Bible says. And if there is a truth in the Scribe magazine, it is also true because it is what the Holy Bible says. For what makes something a divine truth is the Word of God. And that is precisely our absolute, for the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, is our absolute. Therefore, the Holy Scriptures, in relation to the sermon books, and in relation to the contenders, and also in relation to the scribes, is like the altar which sanctifies the offering, the altar being much greater than the offering that is upon it. In the same vein, the Holy Bible is our altar, and it is precisely what sanctifies and judges all things, either as true or as false. Period. Matthew 23 verses 16 to 22. We are not of them that peddle falsehood, giving people a false hope of salvation, carrying a material gospel, a gospel of mammon that cannot even save a dog. We are not those who make merchandise of the word of life. We preach Jesus Christ strictly in a divine revelation of the Holy Bible, and this we do joyfully, without any monetary charges. Listen to me, saints, the bottom line is, the Branham movement do not believe Brother Branham. They never have, and they never will. They are like the Jews under Judaism, who used the quotes of Moses to reject a coming Messiah. And Jesus told them, "I do not need to condemn you. You have one that condemns you already. The very Moses you believe is the one who condemns you, because he spoke of me." John 5 verses 45 to 47. What does the letter see? It lets us clearly see that in the message of Moses, they only picked and chose what to believe and what not to believe, for in reality, they did not believe anything. They did not believe Moses. And likewise, the Branham movement do not believe anything. They do not believe Brother Branham. They are just a bunch of unbelievers playing hypocrisy with the word of life. And that is the pathetic condition of the Branham movement tonight, for they do not really believe the man they claim to follow. Look at all the quotes Brother Enoch laid out in his message from the sermons of Brother Branham. Why do they not also believe those quotes? Just consider all the quotes Brother Enoch laid out in his message. He did not bring them from the blues, for they were all from the sermons of Brother Branham. And yet, the movement professed that they believe Brother Branham. They do not believe anything. They are like the Jews under Judaism who crucified the Messiah, using the message of Moses. And the truth is, if Jesus Christ were here today, the Branham movement would have crucified him faster than the Jews did in the day, because they are a bunch of unbelievers and Bible haters, with their preachers leading innocent souls to slaughter, bringing raw confusion, utter darkness, to the souls of men. As Jesus Christ stated in John chapter 8, verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Then in verse 47, he added, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. For if you cannot stand the truth, it is simply because there is something in your soul that hates the truth. For all seeds of light, the children of light, love the light, and come to the light. It is the children of darkness that hate the light, because like Cain, even when they come this way, all they have is just a religious spirit, which is the reason they reject the truth." And as Brother Branham rightly stated, the worst demon anyone can face is a religious demon, for they are the sort who crucified the Messiah. In his message dated August the 13th, 1955, and titled Fellowship, Brother Branham declared, "We got more sin and unbelief than the Walled Avenue. The people are getting away from God. They go to church. The worst devil there is, worst demon, is a religious demon. That's what killed Jesus. It was the religious party that want to say he was a devil that killed him. That is right. So we want to watch that." Brother Enoch gave quotes upon quotes of William Branham, the man they say they believe, but it is like pouring water on the back of a duck. He went further and took quotes upon quotes of the chief apostle, whom the Jackson movement also claim they believe, Bible-based quotes which they willfully trample on, because in spiritual reality, they equally do not believe Brother Jackson. They never did. Coming to conventions was just like a nice holiday for them, more like attending a clubhouse, and at times they could make useful contacts, for they never believed Brother Jackson. If they had believed Brother Jackson, they would not be where they are today. I will say this to the Jackson movement, and please hear me loud and clear. You can rebuff the present truth with great impudence and carnal arrogance, however, you alone will be the losers for it, because this is not a game. You just do not get it, but you will get it when the time comes, only it will be too late. For when the time comes, and the bride of Christ goes in the rapture, and you have to face the Antichrist, and take the mark of the beast, you will know in the day that you dealt great injury to your own souls. Saints, I thank God for the two men that God used for us in these meetings, and I pray that God will help me to take off from the foundation they have laid. I look to God to help me tonight, and I covet your prayers. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Amos prayed. Can you please turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we will take verses 1 to 8, which reads, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. The material question we must now ask is this: exactly what season are we in? What season is this? For as it is written, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under heaven there is a time, a set time, a divine time. Brothers and sisters, I ask again, what season are we currently in? What is the season? Exactly where are we in the revealed program of God? Since the very same thought is projected prophetically in Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 to 12, where it provides the burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Watchman, what of the night? The watchman stands on the wall as he keeps watch over the city, scouting the horizon for the enemy, that he may sound the alert and keep the children of God in safety. Therefore, the watchman is the eye of the people to detect any sign of the enemy and to immediately raise an alarm, and consequently, he is the security of the people, keeping them from any sudden attack or invasion of the enemy. And in this prophetic passage of Scripture, in verse 11, he is called upon, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? In other words, Watchman, where are we in time? When is a new day going to break forth? Is the day to break forth shortly? Is the night about to pass? But the watchman responded in verse 12, saying, the morning cometh, meaning the daybreak is coming, and also the night, because it is darkest just before daybreak. The darkest hour of the night is just before daybreak. And when the darkness forms, it looks like the day will never break, because of the thickness of the darkness, since it is darkest just before daybreak. Hence, the watchman added, if ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Because a true watchman, the watchman of the people, is supposed to hold the revelation of time. This is true in the natural, just as it is also true in the spiritual. Watchman, what of the night? In other words, and speaking prophetically, what time is it in the program of God? Where are we in God's revealed timetable? Let me say this to each and everyone: God's great plan of redemption that He, the Lord, drew up in His omniscient and infinite mind, ever before the world was formed, wherein Jesus Christ was crucified way back in eternity, in the mind of God, was an extremely detailed plan, encompassing all that it would take to start a redemption, and also to bring it to a perfect, complete, and successful end, a perfect conclusion. Everything was fully thought out by God, for as it is written in Acts chapter 15, verse 18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Church, therefore, as we move with God in time, in a redemption plan that was designed long before time, we come to various dispensations of time in God's timetable. As we move with God in time, we arrive at various junctions of time, various dispensations. And just as we heard this morning about the church ages, there are different church ages, seven church ages in all. However, what we must also realize is that within the seven church ages, there are various junctions of time. In other words, in every church age, there are various or different junctions of time, because God formed the ages, He framed the ages, with different junctions of time within them. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that, just as it records in verse 3, providing, through faith we understand that the worlds, meaning the ages or dispensations, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God designed the ages, and He foreordained just how the plan of salvation would move from age to age, or from dispensation to dispensation, as well as from junction of time to junction of time, within the various dispensations. And He foreordained precisely what would be accomplished in them. And we are now in the seventh and final church age, within the Gentile dispensation of grace, the grace age. Brothers and sisters, the Lord God single-handedly designed this great plan of redemption, a most beautiful, immensely rich, extremely deep, and very elaborate plan. It is very deep and wide, extremely elaborate and utterly complex. But what a most wonderful and most glorious plan it is. What a great and marvelous plan. Saints, all through time, the Lord has been watching faithfully over this great plan of redemption, and it will be accomplished to the letter, for there is nothing in it that shall fail, for He is the Lord. I will say this tonight, before the foundation of the world, when God was laying out this great plan of salvation in His omniscient and infinite mind, mapping out all the ages, He foreordained that the angel who would watch over the entire plan of redemption would be His superangel, Michael the archangel. Jude 1 verse 9. For with the fall of Lucifer, along with a third of the angels, Michael was anointed to take over the leadership position of Lucifer, a truth we have laid out in the scribe titled Genesis, the Eden of Angels. And when the Lord later created Adam and Eve, and they fell in the Garden of Eden, needing redemption, the Lord committed the full authority, the divine burden of watching over His great plan of redemption, into the hands of Angel Michael. Michael has been responsible for the covenant of God, as the plan of redemption has moved through time, from dispensation to dispensation, that is, from the dispensation of Adam to the dispensation of Noah, from the dispensation of Noah to the dispensation of the law, and from the dispensation of the law to the dispensation of grace. And in this dispensation of grace, Archangel Michael is still watching over the new covenant, the gospel, from age to age, and from junction of time to junction of time, within the various church ages. This is a fact, because when the work of salvation was to commence in the days of Moses, the Lord first established salvation in the types and shadows of the law, the Torah, for the salvation of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. It was for this very reason, when the children of Israel were being saved from Egypt, thereby setting a perfect type of the salvation of the Gentile universal bride church, that it was Michael the archangel, the angel of time, the spirit angel of the covenant, who oversaw this natural move of the redemption of God in the day. Church, for a lack of understanding, I know that the opposition, in empty rebuttal, we quote Malachi chapter 3, where the Spirit of God spoke for and on behalf of our Savior Jesus Christ, declaring prophetically through prophet Malachi, in verse 1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he, referring to John the Baptist, shall prepare the way before me, the Messiah, and the Lord, Jesus Christ, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, Jesus the Christ, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Church, the messenger of the covenant is Jesus Christ. But what these people do not realize is that there is also a spirit angel behind the covenant, who is the angel of the covenant, also referred to as the angel of Christ. It is this angel that Jesus Christ sent to John on the Isle of Patmos, as Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 records. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he, Jesus Christ, sent and signified it by his angel, the angel of the covenant, unto his servant John. We are looking at none other than Angel Michael. That was precisely why verses 12 to 13 provides, And I, John, turned to see the voice that spake with me, on the Isle of Patmos. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now watch, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, not the Son of Man, mark you, but one like him, an angel anointed and authorized by God to appear just like Christ, to convey his image, and to speak in his person, as though he himself was the Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and guards about the paps with a golden girdle. This was Michael, the angel of the covenant. We brought up this angel in a number of scribes, such as the one titled, The Angel of Time, Who is He? And also in the one titled, The Angel of the Seventh Seal. Brothers and sisters, indeed, the angel of the covenant is the archangel, because the plan of redemption is the greatest program of God on planet Earth tonight, one that he committed into the hands of his principal angel, his most trusted angel, Michael. And as we sit here tonight in this convention, the plan of redemption remains the greatest program of the Almighty God on planet Earth. I repeat myself. As we speak tonight, the plan of universal redemption, the redemption we have in Jesus Christ, is the greatest program of God on this planet, because the world we see tonight is clearly on its way out. The world we see tonight is most glaringly on its way out. They can call us apocalyptic preachers all they want to. I care less for that. The absolute fact remains, brothers and sisters, the unbelief of man did not stop the judgment of God by a flood in the days of Noah. And likewise, the unbelief of man will not stop the judgment of God by the fire that is coming. To purge this whole iniquitous world, hear it this end time. The Lord used water to baptize the world in the days of Noah, justifying it. And here at the same time, he is going to use fire to burn out all wicked humanity and purify the earth, sanctifying it. The scientists are greatly troubled, looking at the enormous seismic activities developing around the world, for it is on a level they have never seen in their entire lives, as it is on an unprecedented scale. However, they are hiding this serious fact from the general public, so that the world has no cause to panic. However, there has never been an hour that has had such an incredible convergence of seismic operations like now, because the ring of fire and the various tectonic plates, the foundation plates of this planet, are extremely active, causing great concern to the scientific world. This is what is also affecting global warming, and there is absolutely nothing man can do to stop global warming. They can hold as many world meetings to tackle global warming as much as they want to, and they can make greenhouse emission laws all they want to, but for a certainty, there is nothing man can do to stop global warming. Over 700 years before Christ, prophet Isaiah saw in a prophetic vision that in the last week of Daniel, the light of the sun will be heated up 7 times over in its intensity, proving that global warming is much more than man, even though the activity of man is also contributing to global warming. The indisputable and immutable scriptural fact remains that at the end of the millennium, when we now come to the eternal age, that giant body of water that we call the oceans and seas will no longer exist, for as it is written, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21 verse 1. For during the millennium, the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reigning and ruling from the temple in Jerusalem, will lift the curse that has been placed upon this planet. He will speak to the forces and elements of nature, and slowly and systematically, this great and enormous giant body of water will be lifted back to the skies, to act as a buffer against the radiative power of the sun. And by the time the millennium is over, and we enter the eternal age, there is no more sea, for we will no longer have oceans, as God reclaims planet Earth for his children, for all eternity. This lets us clearly see that all the ice caps are going to melt, for it is the word of God, and there is absolutely nothing man can do to stop it. We must not even forget that under the seven vials, the same prophetic truth that prophet Isaiah spoke of is equally conveyed by Jesus Christ in his prophetic revelation. Hence, in the last week of Daniel, the sun is going to scorch men so badly with fire, as the intensity of the sun is multiplied, that men will face the intense heat of the sun, so much so that they will blaspheme the name of the Lord, who has power over this plague. Revelation 16 verses 8 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I am making a point. The great plan of redemption which God laid out in his sovereign and omniscient mind way back in eternity was committed into the hands of Michael, the angel of time, who is the angel of the covenant, and the angel watching over the gospel. It was Archangel Michael in the days of the children of Israel in the wilderness, as both Moses and Joshua met with him in the respective days of their prophetic lead ministries. And it has been Archangel Michael all through the seven church ages, watching over the gospel. Apostle Paul equally met him on his way to Damascus, and Apostle John also met him on the Isle of Patmos, in the first age of Christendom. Coming to this seventh and final church age, this Laodicean age, William Branham, the largest messenger to this last age, also met him in March 1963, during the opening of the seals. I want to say this, brothers and sisters, in the same vein, Archangel Michael is also here tonight in Africa, walking behind the scenes, a truth we brought out in the scribe, titled The Son and the Gospel Movement, because he is the angel who watches over the gospel and its movement as the gospel moves through time, being the angel of the covenant. He is equally coming to manifest himself to the end time, lead Apostle John with the fully open scroll of redemption for John's total consumption after the breaking of the seventh seal. Therefore, you must see that there has to be a spirit behind this gospel, watching over it as it moves through time, that it may serve the perfect purpose of God, with nothing going out of joint. It is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom, who is Jesus Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And indeed, everything works according to the perfect will of God, because the will of God is sovereign, and it is ever on course. I am making a point, for I am simply saying that when we look at this great and beautiful plan of redemption, God ordained that it will span different ages, with different junctions of time within each of these ages. And in these junctions of time, the program of God is being established systematically and progressively. Hence, it is being established ever continuously, till redemption is fully accomplished or realized. Consequently, just as salvation has a beginning, a definite beginning, it also has an end, a definite end, because everything that has a beginning has an end, an absolute truth we brought out in the scribe, titled, Just Before the Crossing Over. Church, as we stated earlier, when we look at God's universal plan of redemption, it is a very great, extremely elaborate, and complex plan, the details of which God thought out in his sovereign and omniscient mind, ever before the world was formed, wherein he ordained that the redemption we now have through Jesus Christ would first be foreshadowed by the redemption of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. For everything the Lord will do in accomplishing redemption was fully laid out in his omniscient mind, back in eternity, spanning or covering all the ages, and all junctions of time within the respective ages. And with the use of time, the Lord anointed and inspired various men to pen down this great and elaborate plan in his book, called the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the canonical scriptures. That is why the Holy Bible is a complete and infallible book, and it applies through all ages, and through all junctions of time. It is the only book that applies through all ages, and through all junctions of time, with absolute prophetic infallibility and immutability, because indeed, it is the Word of the living God, the living Word of the living God. It is just as the Lord proclaimed in the book of Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 to 11, saying, Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. For they are God's perfect and infallible prophetic utterances, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. All that I have spoken prophetically, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Amen. And because the Holy Bible has a perfect prophetic application all through human time, proves undoubtedly that it is indeed a living book, and that it is the Holy Word of God. Brothers and sisters, as stated earlier, a crucial point we must not forget, and a fundamental fact we must continue to reiterate, one which the Branham movement most obviously do not understand, all out of willful unbelief, is this: for the purpose of global redemption, God not only framed the Gentile dispensation of grace into seven church ages, but he also broke each church age into various junctions of time, through which he will eventually get to himself a universal body of redeemed souls. Consequently, knowing that we are now in the seventh and final church age, and also knowing that in every age there are different junctions of time, the material question we must now ask ourselves is this: Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? This is a crucial question that was laid out in Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 to 12. And the watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire ye, return, come. Because the daybreak is preceded by thick darkness, grows darkness. Brothers and sisters, as we said earlier, the darkest hour of the night is just before daybreak, for it is darkest just before the day breaks forth. Church, Time Haven Road to 1906 in Azusa Street, California. The fire of the Spirit fell, and through the Pentecostal movement that was born, the Lord restored the gifts of the Spirit, out of which was formed the Pentecostal organization that bore the All Message. Please be reminded that they are still an extension of the Reformation movement. Looking at Christendom shortly thereafter, in this seventh and final church age, this Laodicean age, right after the Pentecostal movement had served God's purpose, the Bride of Jesus Christ were all scattered within the organized churches. They were all scattered within the various systems of religion that were established on earth. Therefore, in order to get his elect bride, the Lord anointed William Branham with the spirit of Elijah, in fulfillment of Malachi 4 verse 6b, in its first prophetic application. And we say this because an Elijah, along with Moses, is still coming to the children of Israel, in the first half of the 70th week of Daniel, a scripturally irrefutable truth that we brought out in absolute scriptural detail in the scribe, titled, The Dual Application of Malachi 4 verse 6b, Promise of Elijah, for those who are interested in knowing the truth. Brother William Branham, as Elijah to the Gentiles in this Laodicean age, bore the entire message, which is a Bible restoring message, by which an element of people were called out of the entire world of organized religion, back to the true apostolic light of Jesus Christ, the true and original Bible faith. With those called out people, there was also a mixed multitude following his Bible restoring message, from which the Lord will eventually get his elect royal bride. It is for this reason that in 96 AD, in his prophetic revelation, as recorded in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus Christ revealed this divine end-time move to St. John, who prophetically declared, And I heard another voice from heaven, which is the voice of Yahweh, Elohim, saying, Come out of her, come out of spiritual Babylon and her hallowed daughters, which gives us the entire world of organized religion. My people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This is precisely what the Lord used Brother Branham to accomplish, here in this last age, as Elijah sent a messenger to Laodicea. We were called out of all the man-made systems of religion, systems that peddle all sorts of creeds and dogma, all sorts of carnal religious programs, theological ideas, and hand-me-down traditions of men, that we might walk with the Lord strictly in the light of His Word, strictly in the light of the Holy Scriptures, the pure Word of God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible-restoring message of Elijah by which we were called out is given to us in Malachi chapter 4, beginning from verse 5, which records, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This prophetic verse of Scripture gives us the two advents, or the two comings of Jesus Christ. The great day gives us Christ's first coming, and the dreadful day gives us Christ's second coming, for they are two separate and distinct days, terrors, two dispensations or periods of time. And since they are two separate and distinct days, dispensations, or eras, when the Lord will send Elijah, common sense will let you know. Therefore, that one man, one Elijah, cannot forerun both days. Because there is about 2,000 years in between the two dispensations, in between the great day and the dreadful day. Period. Watch, for verse 6 now gives us precisely what Elijah is to do in the two dispensations, plainly declaring prophetically, And he, Elijah, shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. The portion of this verse, verse 6a, was fulfilled by John the Baptist, for it relates to the great day of the Lord, Christ's first advent, as confirmed by the angel of God in Luke 1:17, thereby settling this issue and resolving all arguments. This leaves the balance of this verse, verse 6b, which the angel left out of the ministry of John the Baptist in Luke 1:17, because of its end-time application, and it is to be fulfilled by an end-time Elijah, for it relates strictly to the dreadful day of the Lord. Hence, verse 6b now records, And he, Elijah, an end-time Elijah, shall equally turn the heart of the children the end-time elect bright seeds of God, to their fathers, the apostolic founding fathers of our faith, the men who gave us the true Bible faith of Jesus Christ, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. This simply means that this is before the day of the Lord comes, when God will judge this earth with a curse, with fire, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions of unimaginable proportion. Therefore, verse 6b lets us know with crystal clarity that there will come a Bible-restoring message of Elijah. And on the full authority of Malachi for verse 6b, brothers and sisters, at the same time, the heart of the elect children of God called his bride are to be turned back by Elijah to the true original faith of the early church apostles. It is the early apostles who were the midwives and foundation layers of early church that was born on the day of Pentecost, and they were the inspired writers, preachers, custodians, and guardians of the New Testament faith. May I add, for the essential point is this, we are not only restored to the faith of the apostles, which is true Bible faith, but this original faith also gives us a ministry. And as laid out in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, right here at this same time, this ministry begins with the apostles. The first fold of the Ephesian fivefold ministry. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. Consequently, Malachi for verse 6b lets us know that by the Bible-restoring message of Elijah, the end-time bride will be handed over by Elijah into the hands of the original handlers of the true bride. These are the apostolic fathers, a fold of ministry which begins with the office of Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the chief apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11 verse 13. We laid out this truth in the scribe titled Locating God, the Visitation of God. So, brothers and sisters, according to Malachi for verse 6b, we have a sure promise, a promise of an end-time Elijah, and a promise of end-time fathers, apostolic fathers, beginning with the end-time Paul. The ministry promise of Paul as end-time father is implied, and hence, we must read between the lines to see exactly what ministry Elijah will hand us over to on our way to getting back the original Ephesian fivefold ministry. And in turn, the reproduced original Ephesian fivefold ministry will get the elect universal bride in full spiritual state of readiness for the return of Jesus Christ. To prove that this interpretation is true, for it is divine, in his message dated 1960 and titled The Seven Church Ages, the Holy Spirit instructed the prophet to take this pen and write to show us the things to come. John 16 verse 13. Part of the prophetic message Brother Branham was given relates to the re-establishment of the office of Apostle Paul, the chief apostle, right here in this last age. Hence, Brother Branham declared prophetically, "Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. A promised land is coming in sight even as theirs did." Now Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end-time leader that will come to the church even as Paul came as the original leader. Take this prophecy of the Holy Spirit back to Malachi for verse 6b, and you must see the ministry of the chief apostle, the apostle Paul, buried in this verse of scripture, reading between the lines, rightly dividing the word of truth. Full stop. In order to seal this issue, please come with me to Matthew chapter 13 for a second witness of the Holy Scriptures, which we will consider only in a small measure, where Jesus Christ declared prophetically in verse 52, just as it is written, "Then said he, Jesus Christ, unto them, the apostles, therefore every scribe, apostolic scribe, which is instructed, tutored, unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, the principal scribe, the largest a messenger to Laodicea, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, of the Holy Bible, things, revelations, new and old." This parable, which buries or hides a prophetic truth of the ministry move of the Lord at this end time, gives us apostolic scribes, successive apostolic household scribes, men who were tutored by Elijah, the principal household scribe, and this passage of scripture firmly ties in with what the Elijah of Malachi for verse 6b will do, and the fold of ministry that he will turn our hearts back to, our apostolic fathers, thus solidifying the truth. Church, since Brother Branham, our Elijah, passed away on December the 24th, 1965, the central issue and the fundamental question we must now ask is this: where are we? Exactly where are we? Watchman, what of the night? Where are we in time? In the revealed program of God's redemption, the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Isaiah 21 verses 11 to 12. For it is darkest just before the new day breaks forth. Saints of God, this simply means that we are now squarely in the final junction of time, in this last church age, this Laodicean age, directly leading to the rapture, at the very return of Jesus Christ for his mystical universal bride body. If this is true, if it is really so, that we are in the junction of time just before the new day dawns, when we will see Christ in the sky, then the darkness we face today must be totally unprecedented, for it must be unparalleled darkness, and it most certainly is. In true spiritual essence, it simply means that we are in the junction of time that is the darkest period of all, the darkest hour in the entire dispensation of grace. For it is darkest just before daybreak, when we will see Christ, on the glorious resurrection morning. This brings us to the title of my message tonight, which is, Where Are We? The Apostolic Teaching Phase. I pray that God will help me, for you must see this apostolic teaching phase, particularly because of the mind-boggling darkness, the unprecedented darkness that we are now facing in the world today, one which also calls for unprecedented light, matchless light, the crystal clear light of the Word of God. Where are we? Exactly where are we in time? Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Brothers and sisters, please come with me as we seriously consider our time, this particular junction of time. We want to look closely at our day, the hour we are now living in, this third and final junction of time for the bride of Jesus Christ, so we can take due divine instructions. Now, please come with me. Here on the extreme left of our chart, Brother Amos points to the chart. We have X-rayed or laid out the evil conditions prevailing on the earth today, a necessary background for this message, because the vital backdrop for my message today is the incredible and mind-boggling demonic activities we are seeing on the earth today. It lays the necessary backdrop, the crucial background for my message. Look at the second evil attribute we have laid out on our chart. Brother Amos again points to the chart, an evil attribute we will begin with in our message today, and a great evil that is plaguing the world today as we speak, and that is political dictatorship and instability. Politically speaking, we are talking about the leadership of the world, and tonight, the world is in one big great mess, a giant cauldron, a large boiling pot. The political leadership of the world today are so diabolical, and so utterly perverse and evil, that they constitute extremely bad figs that cannot be eaten, for they are a special evil breed. The hidden political, economic, and religious agenda that some of them have is simply evil and blood-curdling. A good number of them are men who are also unleashing hell on their nations by legalizing abominable sexual desires, abominable marriages, and repugnant lifestyles called the LGBTQ, and they are terrorizing, demonizing, and punishing moral goodness and righteousness. Oh my! Something is also going on in the earth tonight, following the First and Second World Wars, after many decades of democracy. Now we see an array of leaders rising up around the world who are nothing but dictators, authoritarians, totalitarian leaders, stripping their citizens of the freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and even stripping them of the freedom of thought, crushing all expressions of dissent, differences of opinion. As fallen men, they really think this world is theirs to treat as they like, and some of them think they can create a utopia when, without God, our Maker, man is worse than a beast. As such, no matter the situation or environment, he can only continually descend into the state of chaos and anarchy, and eventually self-destruct, for all he can produce is George Orwell's Animal Farm, a sad reality we now face on earth today. Let me tell the bride of Jesus Christ, the days of democracy are over, for democracy is dead. Forget it. The days of democracy are gone for good. We now live in an era where there is a reemergence of political dictators, So we are seeing a reintroduction of totalitarian governments who have total control and censorship of their countries, for they control everything, and they crush all forms of dissent, even if it is merely an opinion. Around the world, totalitarian rulers are rising up all over the place, from America to Europe to Far East Asia to the Middle East to Africa. One such dictator, Robert Mugabe, the former Zimbabwean president, just died a few days ago in Zimbabwe. What a bunch of totalitarian rulers. Democracy is absolutely dead. We have come back to the era of dictators, where rulers have total control of the people, and the people have no freedom, no life of their own, but are more like servants, slaves of the king. Church, just look at the whole world, whether you want to look at North Korea, or China, or Thailand, or Russia, or Belarus, or Uzbekistan, or Iran, or Turkey, or Syria, or Saudi Arabia, or Qatar, or the United Arab Emirates, or Gabon, or Republic of Congo, or Libya, or Eritrea, or Cuba, or Nicaragua, or Venezuela. All these countries, amongst many others, are under dictatorship. There are about 50 countries in the world under dictatorship as we speak tonight, and even the United States of America is incredibly and slowly being transformed into a dictatorship under President Donald Trump, who is blatantly overturning every organ of separation of power and is turning himself into a king. The word is law, and no one and no institution of government can challenge them, or they will come after you, for they hold all the power in the country. So, we can see that democracy is dead, and stupidity reigns. Brothers and sisters, the political dictatorship we see today, which is fast changing the political terrain around the world, is laying the necessary foundation for the introduction of a coming Antichrist, the man of sin, the greatest dictator ever, and the very last autocrat, despot, tyrant, that this planet will ever have. Therefore, saints of God, you must see that the era of democracy is most certainly over, and it is now the era of strongman politics. That is a reality of things politically tonight, a necessary foundation for the introduction of Satan's super prince and heir apparent, the Antichrist, the worst and last dictator that will rule, not over a nation, mind you, but over the entire prophetic earth, and not over the entire earth, but over the whole restored geographical area of the old Roman Empire. Many nations around the world are groaning under the oppressive, repressive, and draconian regime of autocrats, dictators, men who make themselves president for life. Furthermore, in many nations, men who lust for political power, politically ambitious men, are throwing their countries into needless wars, creating unnecessary chaos and anarchy, out of their desperate and selfish desire to take over political power at any cost, which is one of the main reasons we now have so much political instability and turmoil all over the globe. It is a precursor, a forerunner, to the peace and economic pact which the coming Antichrist will make with many nations, including and most especially, the nation of Israel. Daniel 9 verse 27. Church, the next evil condition we have on the charts, which is the third evil, is global wars. Wars are breaking out everywhere today. As one war is being settled here, another one is breaking out somewhere else, killing masses of people, and throwing the world into turmoil, chaos, and insecurity, bringing about a colossal displacement of humanity all over the world, as people are running away from these war-torn countries. We have war in Syria, we have war in Yemen, we have war in Afghanistan, we have war in Darfur, we have conflicts all over this globe, for the world is seriously groaning, like a woman in birth pains. Most of these people are running to the West, as if the West can hold the population of the world, thereby seriously and negatively impacting upon the societies of the West, economically, socially, religiously, racially, and demographically. The world is in a giant bubble, ready to burst, and it will most definitely burst. Saints, we cannot conclude our consideration of global wars without also talking about warmongers. These are men whose trade is war, and who instigate wars as a means of economic gain, either in order to sell weapons, or just to make money. Men who are secretly hired out by world governments to act as proxies, using their private armies to fight their wars. These explant seeds per excellence, seeds of discord, chaos, and societal turmoil, creators of unrest around the world, and all for mere personal gain. Saints of God, coming to the next evil on our charts, we have nuclear arms race. We thought that the Cold War was over, but it had just quietened down a little, because the Cold War is back, and the nuclear arms race is on, big time. Brothers and sisters, man has enough atomic and nuclear power, long-range missiles, biological weapons, or weaponized virology, along with the swarm drone military technology, and other forms of military armory, with which to destroy himself many times over. It is a mad world, with mad leaders, where the world powers, the USA, China, Russia, the European Union, etc., are all arming themselves to the teeth, all seeking world domination. You must all know that a nuclear holocaust is coming, and it is scripturally called Armageddon, the war or the battle of Armageddon. This great evil, brothers and sisters, is followed on our charts. Brother Amos points to the charts by cyber crimes. Now we live in an age of cyber crime. Crime has moved to the internet, as it is the new international stage, and as such, crime has taken over the internet on a phenomenal scale, because what can be done with the internet is simply limitless, particularly because criminals now have the whole wide world right on their screens to scam the innocent and non-discerning global masses of people, and even to scam governments. It is now cyber crimes, cyber fraud. For today, the scams are coming in all kinds of colors, sizes, and shapes, and it is on different levels and for different purposes. Now we have cyber scamming, fraud, cyber bullying, cyber pornography, cyber impersonation, cyber hacking, cyber phishing, or cyber crime using various tactics such as deceptive emails, or deceptive text messages, or deceptive websites, to steal personal confidential information, or to steal corporate confidential information, identity theft, cyber attack, cyber this, and cyber that. I watched a troubling program in the United Kingdom with my wife, not too long ago. And do you know that criminals, fraudsters, can impersonate you, on Skype, by using your image, your photo? It is for fraudulent purposes, particularly if you are famous, or if you have money, and the person on the other end of the Skype, their target, sees you, but it is actually an impersonator. Many famous personalities have had their images used for this kind of fraud, and they do not know anything about it, until the police knocks on their door. It is simply because technology has gone nuclear, and hence, when you look at the video clips recorded online, it is the face or the voice of the celebrity you will see, but it is a scam. The devil has highly anointed his children at this end time, and as a result, they can put you anywhere they want to put you. It means you can be put in a place you have never been before. Today, you can be put anywhere. In other words, if they want to fry you, it is very easy to do so, because now with technology, you can be put where you never went. You can even be placed in a country you have never visited, and your fingerprints can be placed where you have not been, and you can be jailed for life for an offense you have never even committed. In other words, you can easily be stitched up, for indeed, and as Brother Branham preached, this is Satan's Eden. That is the evil reality of the days and the times we now live in, an hour of cyber crimes, an age where the imaginations of men are only continually evil, and with no end to it. 40 years ago, there was nothing called the internet, and as such, criminology has simply moved to the internet, and the ever-increasing and ever-advancing internet technology tools available today offers unlimited resources for the criminals to use. Just consider cyber attacks, for instance. They can use cyber malware to shut down the banking and financial systems of an entire nation, shut down all its airports, its health service systems, its water supply systems, its electric grid, its railways or train systems. You name it. They can hack into the government's transit systems to derail a train, or to ignite a nuclear base, or to cause an explosion or the other. We are living in extremely dangerous times, which the Holy Bible calls perilous times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Holy Bible records prophetically. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Saints of God, we are most certainly living in those days. Hence, today, these cyber criminals eat, sleep, and live in front of their computer screens 24/7, trying to hack into this and that. Whether it is a military secret database, government secret database, corporate or personal database, they can hack into your bank account and wipe out whatever you have in one day. That is cybercrime. There is now cyber pornography, and it is so bad on the internet that they are even taking the photos of the heads of important personalities and placing them on the bodies of prostitutes for pornographic purposes. And when people watch such dirty and demonic videos, they wonder how so and so could be performing such lewd acts when it is not that person. They use the image of innocent women for pornography. Just consider the terrible state of things in South Korea, where they have a pandemic of secret criminal surveillance. Secret cameras are installed in hotels and in public toilets to secretly video people using the toilet, particularly women, videoing them in the nude, which they then upload on a pornography site. In the secrecy of the toilet, people do not realize that a secret camera is recording them, and all of a sudden, they just see themselves on the internet, naked, on a pornographic site. The number of young girls, ladies, and women who have committed suicide in South Korea on account of this evil pandemic is very disturbing, and it is on the rise as we speak. Fast upon seeds have come to maturity, full maturity. The internet is the new frontier for Satan, and it gives him not only a most powerful and effective tool, but it also gives him an unlimited frontier, because the whole world is now on the internet. Only God knows the level of evil that is being committed on the internet and on social media every day, around the globe. Brothers and sisters, we will move on to the next evil on our chart, which is Islamic terrorism. We now also live in a world bombarded with Islamic terrorism, called jihad. That is why traveling by air is no longer easy, but is now actually a harrowing experience. It has become difficult and wearisome, all because of the evil activities of Islamic terrorists, who are seeking to use all sorts of means to blow up airplanes and airports, as well as destabilize the West, and make things very uncomfortable for travelers. As a result, when you are passing through airport security, you now have to remove the belt of your trousers or skirts, in case you have something hidden in your belt. You also have to now remove your shoes on your blazer, which creates endless queues, causing serious delays. And further, because of concerns with liquids being explosive substances, we can no longer travel with liquids, including water, unless it is bought at the airport. Yet, it is necessary for these security checks to be put in place, in order to ensure the safety and security of air passengers, air staff, and airport workers. Since all these things are only adding to the insecurity we face in a modern world, so we can clearly see, brothers and sisters, what great evil Islamic terrorism is creating around the globe, and nobody is safe. Look at the barbaric and dastardly killings of innocent citizens, and the untold havoc that Boko Haram is committing in northern Nigeria, for example, along with that of the Fulani herdsmen, who are nothing but Islamic foot soldiers, giving us two Islamic groups. These groups are desperately seeking to Islamize Nigeria, using terrorism, with the latter group using their need for animal grazing in southern Nigeria as a cover for their Islamic agenda. It is a reality we face in this country, and it is a reality we face around the world, in Iraq, in Iran, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Libya, in Somalia, in northwest Pakistan, etc. Brothers and sisters, this is a terrible condition we are facing tonight around the globe, for these jihadists are seeking to establish a global Islamic caliphate, one that will never happen. It is for this every reason that we brought out a message in the scribe, titled, A Religion on Its Last Trail. The next evil attribute on our chart is gang violence and rape. Gangs are what we have in all the major cities of the world, and these gangs are maiming and killing themselves mindlessly every day, and they are also killing others senselessly, wrenching the hearts of their families. Cultic gangs have even taken over colleges, universities of learning, which have become a cesspool of iniquity and sexual crimes such as rape, group rape, gang rape. Since we now live in a world inundated with rape, and on account of mindless gang violence, there are some cities in some nations where the life expectancy is extremely short, as a young man hardly reached the age of 20 before being gone down by one gang or the other. Hence, if young men reach 20 years before they are killed, life is good, for it is just that bad. Young people are being lured into a life of violence in hard drugs, narcotics, through gangs, and they carve out territories for themselves in the city, which rival gang members cannot even pass through. It is such an evil world, where life has no meaning, and practically no value, which is why more often than not, these gang members die young, and they die like vermin, living a worthless and meaningless life devoted to brute violence. Let us consider the issue of rape, brothers and sisters. It is bad enough for a woman to be raped, but for a gang of men to rape a woman is simply harrowing, for it is just beyond rational comprehension. It is extremely dastardly and most horrific, and yet, they do it with demonic cruelty, and with joy, and with a sense of impunity. There are places in the world where you can hardly get two or three women that have not been raped. I know of some places around the globe, as I am aware of some places in various continents of this world, although I will not mention any names, for it is just that bad. What a horrid world! Humanity has truly become much worse than a pack of hyenas. I am simply painting the sordid picture of the world for you tonight, and I have a reason for doing so. Only please follow me patiently on this journey with the eyes of faith. As the children of light, we must know that the further man gets away from God, the worse he becomes in his earthly nature, the more he loses his God essence that he is supposed to have, and which natural man was invested with. Consequently, as we move closer in time to the end, and the further humanity moves away from God, the more evil, the more wicked, the more violent, and the more twisted and base man becomes, and hence, the more beastly, for he becomes no better than a brute beast, in true natural essence. Coming back to our chart, the next vice that follows is moral looseness and depravity. At the opening of this convention, on Thursday night, we were saying that we no longer have ladies in the world, for ladies are now a rarity, because women today, from the young to the old, from teenagers to grandmas, all dress worse than the prostitutes of old. They have no shame whatsoever, and hence, they do not blush, for they are completely devoid of any ounce of moral value. They strip themselves naked in the streets before the world, and they are very happy and proud of themselves doing so, because they are shamelessly bold, bearing only a completely warped, twisted sense of human dignity and self-esteem. Today, around the globe, the people of the world no longer wear clothes, most especially the women, and even when they do, they wear clothes that are practically nothing, for their clothing hides nothing. And all the teenagers of today know is to sleep around, turning themselves into pieces of meat, cheap cuts of meat that are cut and thrown away. For we live in a horrible world where we have total moral looseness, total moral collapse. It is a base world, a lewd world, filled with moral depravity, an age where people have become completely morally bankrupt, a totally degenerate world, where humanity acts worse than dogs. Dogs, who are just mere animals, are more virtuous than the women of today, whereas human beings are supposed to have human virtue, human value, and self-esteem, human ego, which should make a lady walk in a dignified way, and to also present herself in a dignified manner, rather than present herself just like a waste product. Brothers and sisters, as human beings, we were created to have a measure of ego, natural ego, which is self-esteem, a sense of self-dignity, good self-worth, which ensures that there is a way we cannot present ourselves in public unless we have a twisted mind and a seared conscience. That is precisely why women now travel on international flights, dressed as if they are actually in their bedrooms, the men wearing just shorts and t-shirts, and women wearing hot pants with a flimsy top, both with mere flip-flops, beachwear, bathroom slippers, on their feet. Saints, the sights we see all around the globe at this evening time are simply incredible and mind-boggling, for it is nothing but gross immorality, severe moral looseness, utter depravity, nude and erotic displays, evils which they even glory in. As a reprobate-minded class of humanity they are. It is a morally degenerate and bankrupt world. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Iniquity kills any nation. It does, for that is precisely why God sent a serious volcanic explosion to wipe out the Roman city of Pompeii. Look at it today. You will see an old granny, a 75-year-old granny with flabby arms, with her flat chest, dry and wrinkled, with all her veins showing. And yet, that old granny would wear hot pants or shorts and just a little flimsy top, with no brown, the boldest lipstick, and face paint, makeup, and one just wonders, who is she trying to bait? What exactly is she even trying to look like? And when grannies dress like that, what do you expect the children of today to do? They will most certainly be worse than their parents. That was why in Sodom and Gomorrah, God wiped out everyone, including the children, because of what the parents had bred into them. God knew that they would be worse than their parents. We live in the day when there are no morals in the world, and it is a bigger shame that we no longer have morals in the church, for churches have become a cesspool of immorality and a ground for every evil and deceitful work. No wonder it is written of them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There are choirs where you will find that the choir master and other pastor have slept with almost every lady in the choir, or where the choir members sleep with one another, and abortions are performed on a regular basis, and then they still come to church on a Sunday to sing like an angel, and yet they live like devils. Their women twerk and whine erotically in the worship services, in the same way that people in the Caribbean and Brazil dance for their carnivals, engaging in the most vulgar and erotic dances, all supposedly to God, but clearly an abomination for that matter. Who would ever think we would live in a world where womanhood would lose its value and dignity, so much so that in the United Kingdom, they now have a television program called Naked Attraction. It is a television show where men and women around the show stark naked to choose and date each other, all done with both sexes being totally naked, exactly as men would do to view cattle on display, cattle that are for sale. In short, it is a new dating show, and it is totally repugnant, offensive to the mind, and its obscenity is simply incredible. There is another program called Love Island, along with all the so-called reality TV shows, where morality and shame have no place. A world of total moral degenerates. Brothers and sisters, I am simply showing the reality of the world we now live in, morally speaking, showing you just how extremely low down and rotten it is, for you must see what the day is saying. Women no longer have any shame, and they do not blush, for they no longer have any iota of true self-esteem, only a twisted and demonic sense of self-esteem. That is precisely why they can dress naked and pose naked, because they have no self-value, no true self-dignity. When a woman has dignity, true dignity, she will cover herself and dress as is becoming of a woman that is a lady, a virtuous lady, and she will also mind her moral virtue. There are no more ladies out there. For all we see is a display of raw flesh from women with extremely loose, very promiscuous, and shameless lifestyles. That is the pathetic state of Laodicea, and solid evidence of a society whose religious institutions have no exampleship for the world to copy. What else can we expect from a religious world that has our Lord Jesus Christ completely locked outside of the church, earnestly pleading to be allowed in? Revelation 3 verse 20. And how perfect is the prophetic revelation, the prophetic vision, the Lord gave to William Branham, which he laid out in 1960 in his message on the seven church ages. One Sunday morning, in June 1933, Brother Branham was given seven straight visions of the end time, where in the fifth vision, he was shown precisely this. The fifth vision had to do with the moral problem of age, centering mostly around women. God showed me that women began to be out of their place with the granting of the vote. Then they cut off their hair, which signified that they were no longer under the authority of a man, but insisted on either equal rights, or in most cases, more than equal rights. Now listen to this. She adopted men's clothing and went into a state of undress, until the last picture I saw was a woman naked, except for a little fig leaf type apron. With this vision I saw the terrible perversion and immoral plight of the whole world. Speaking specifically about the prophetic preview he was given of the Bride of Christ, on the 29th of April 1965, in his message titled, The Choosing of a Bride, paragraphs 198 to 213, in which he conveyed the moral state of apostate Christendom, the prophet also stated, A few weeks ago, I was in a vision, and I was standing up on a high place, and I was to see the preview of the church. And I noticed, coming from I was standing more like this way, facing the west. And coming this way was the lovely bunch of women, real nice dress, long hair fixed nice in the back, sleeves, and skirts down neatly. And they were all in a marching tune, like, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And as I passed by, I stood, and there was something there, some spirit, was God, and said, There is a bride. And I looked, and my heart was happy. And she went around this way, and passed around behind me. After a while, when she come back this way, it said, Now the modern church will come into preview. And here come the ancient church up. I never seen such a filthy bunch. Here come the other churches up, of the different nation. They looked horrible. And I say this because I'm duty bound to tell the truth before God. And when he said, Here comes the Church of America now, to be previewed. If I ever seen a bunch of devils, it was that. The women were stripped naked, with an old gray-looking thing, like a collar of an elephant's hide. And they was holding it in front of them, to show their genitals, with no upper part on it at all. They were completely topless. And they were doing this kind of stuff, that these dances that these kids do out here, that twist and stuff, and that kind of music going on. And when I seen Miss USA come up, I almost fainted. Now, this is thus saith the Lord. You believe me to be his servant, you believe me now. I wouldn't say that for nothing in the world. Since, this vision not only shows us just how the Lord looks upon apostate Christendom, the world of organized religion, but it also shows us the complete bastardization of Christianity, a reality we now face today, where women twerk and whine erotically in worship service, exactly as Brother Branham saw it, and just as the Moabites did in Baal worship. What an age Laodicea is! What an age of complete moral looseness and depravity! What a prophetic insight the Lord gave the Elijah prophet to this last age, where women are totally naked, except for a fig leaf covering their private parts. Just go to the beaches and swimming pools around the world, for the story is the same. It is all nakedness. Do you know what they now wear? It is called a thong. And do you know what a thong is? It is what Brother Branham called, in the fifth of his seven visions, a little fig leaf. It is just a tiny piece of cloth that barely covers private parts in the front, with narrow strings attached that go through the wedge of their buttocks at the back, supported by a waistband or string, covering absolutely nothing, but exposing their entire buttocks, leaving it completely out in the open for all to see, whether in the swimming pool or on the beach. It is a demon-possessed world. Right on a crowded beach, they are just as naked can be. Three generations of people standing naked before the world, the grandchild, the mother, and the grandmother. The grandma stands naked in the open, where the grandchildren can see everything that the grandma has, and the mother who gave birth to these children also stands completely naked, where her children can also see her all. The grandchildren know no better, and with no good example set, they themselves are equally standing naked. So, we have three generations of women, all stark naked in each other's presence, as well as being completely naked before the gawking public, all in the name of swimming, all in the name of pleasure, carnal enjoyment. Let me warn you tonight, this may be going on out there, but as a bride of Jesus Christ, you must know that you cannot do that. That is why we do not send our children to swimming competitions or to any athletic track or other sporting events, whether football, basket, ball, netball, volleyball, tennis, etc. That demands for ladies and men to dress nakedly and disgustingly. Neither will we send our children to learn ballet dancing, a dance form of erotic and morally disgusting movements, nor will they learn any other form of dance, like modern dance, jive, and the very erotic dances like the salsa, the rumba, all these South American moves, just in order to entertain a twisted-minded, demon-possessed world. We will not engage in any of these activities or sports in order to obtain a worldly, temporal, and corruptible medal and worldly fame, for we only seek an eternal glory and an eternal crown that does not fade away or decay. You can only swim if it is in private, where there are no mixed audiences. And if you think I am being too strict or too old-fashioned, then suit yourself, for this is between you and the Lord, as this is strictly to do with your walk with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, as I have said before, I will say again, as a daughter of God, you cannot engage in mixed swimming, and neither can you expose your naked flesh in public, nor can you take part in all these erotic dances, because there is an evil spirit that makes women do such low-down things. For although we live in a very morally loose and totally bankrupt world, notwithstanding, we have been called unto separation, that we might be a true light that shines in the darkness, a shining example, making the difference, dressing, and living as children of light. Hence, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Apostle Paul earnestly admonished us in verses 17 to 18, firmly imploring, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." This is a clear call unto a life of total separation unto God through our Savior Jesus Christ, for our lives are expected to stand out as a redeemed of the Lord, saints of God, the sanctified ones. It is most certain, therefore, that we have been called to live clean, virtuous, holy lives to the Lord, who has redeemed our souls, walking worthy of our vocation, calling, as Christians, as true believers, in a morally loose, depraved, and morally bankrupt generation. Speaking about depravity, moral corruption, moral degeneration, this brings us to the next evil attribute on our chart, which is pornography. Brothers and sisters, the world has been plunged into pornography on an unimaginable scale, as a porn industry, the new drug, one of Satan's master evils, is worth $6 to $15 billion. It is the business of the industry to make sure that there is porn available on every medium to catch your attention. Even our children cannot go on a computer search engine without being bombarded by porn. It is so readily and easily available, as men and women have given themselves over to the watching and the performing of things that are downright lewd and base, things that are utterly obscene, because their hearts have become depraved, perverse, for it has become Lucifer's junkyard for dumping his garbage. And many have excuses for themselves in this iniquitous lifestyle, saying, "Well, I watch pornography because I am not yet married. When I get married, I will stop watching it." Let me warn you tonight, as a single person, when you are hooked on pornography, when you marry, your marriage will not make a difference, and this is quite apart from the serious fact that pornography will wreck your marriage, if you are not careful. For the spirit of pornography that has taken a hold on your life is much bigger than your marriage, and hence, your marriage will never satisfy the depraved lust for pornography. In other words, marriage does not take away the spirit of pornography. Wake up and be wise. What most people, including churchgoers, do not even realize is that pornography is on different levels, for there are different levels of pornography. When they watch pornography to a certain level, after a while, it no longer satisfies, and hence, they have to step it up a little, going a notch higher. After a while, that level also no longer satisfies, for there are various levels to this demon, and hence, they have to take it up to yet another level of depravity, until it gets to a point where bodily harm or sadism comes in, when mere pornography no longer satisfies them, unless and except it comes with pain, a measure of pain, which they inflict on themselves, or on their partners. Brothers and sisters, it is a strong demon in operation. Let me tell you tonight that pornography is a demon, and it has taken over the whole world, young and old, male and female, including churchgoers, for this demon has taken over Christendom as we speak, and that is the truth. What a world we live in, where people are given to watching things that are extremely base, lewd, things that are vulgar, things that are erotic and obscene. Look at it, the celebrities of the world and other porn stars. Whatever their profession may be, whether they are singers, or actors, or models, or even tennis players, as well as news and radio broadcasters, for they love to pose nude, giving the stupid and nonsensical and twisted excuse of celebrating womanhood. And some of these so-called female stars, when pregnant, they also pose nude, and this is done with the excuse that they are celebrating motherhood. Speaking of posing nude, we are talking about the likes of Kim Kardashian, Jennifer Lopez, Beyoncé, Lady Gaga, Megan Thee Stallion, and the Serena Williams of this world, etc. Oh my! Saints of God, you must realize that they do such things because they have brain damage. Otherwise, they would realize that that is downright rotten and extremely nasty, for there is a demon motivating such degenerate behavior. But then, this is their world, not ours. So, let them enjoy it the way they see fit. Church, this brings us to the next vice we have on our chart, which is homosexuality, gays and lesbians. We now live in a world that has been completely taken over by homosexuality, for this sin of abnormal sexual perversion is a global pandemic, a great tsunami that has suddenly overtaken and overturned the world, seemingly overnight. Let us be clear of what the Lord laid out in the Holy Bible regarding the profane sin of homosexuality, as recorded in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 20 to 28, where it states, "For the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to discern their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now listen to this, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, vile lusts, twisted sexual desires, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men walking that which is unseemly, committing homosexual acts, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, things which are not normal, things which are unnatural, abnormal, perverse. It is also written in the book of Leviticus chapter 18, where the God warned in verses 22 to 23, saying clearly and categorically, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, bestiality, which is also abomination. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there at all. It is confusion," meaning, it is utter perversion, completely profane. Brothers and sisters, It was on the account of the gross iniquity of homosexuality, the sin of sexual perversion, perverted sex acts, the sin of twisted lusts, that God totally destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and wiped out all their inhabitants, leaving only four souls, Lot, his wife, and their two daughters, and even then, Mrs. Lot was later turned into a pillar of salt, for her unbelief, her disobedience. Consequently, if the God of all creation destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the grave sin of homosexuality, it is not this generation that he will spare, for the ways of God and his justice is one. That is why we are strongly warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Apostle Paul declaring by the Holy Spirit in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, sissified men, men acting and dressing as women, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, gays and lesbians, homosexuals." In verse 11, Apostle Paul adds, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." Because God is able to save all men who will sincerely turn to Jesus Christ, regardless of their sinful ways or sinful conducts. Church, all these holy scriptures confirm the absolute fact that homosexuality is nothing but a warped, perverse, sexual lust. It is the same as the evil and depraved sexual desire for animals, which is bestiality, and equally the same as the wicked and twisted sexual lust for children, which is pedophilia, as well as the insane desire for rape, all demonic sexual lusts, demonic sexual desires. Brothers and sisters, every time I hear the nonsensical argument, the incredible comparison, that homosexuals deserve the same human rights as the African Americans and as the Jews, it makes me see the utter stupidity and reprobate-mindedness of modern-day humanity. It is just as St. Paul declared in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." I say this because homosexuals are not a race of people like the African Americans, the blacks, and like the Jews, who deserve human rights just like their white folks, for homosexuals are in all races. Homosexuals are people who indulge in perverse sexual acts, for they have an unnatural lust, an abnormal sexual desire for the same gender. It is no different to bestiality and pedophilia, which are equally demonic sexual desires, abominable sexual lusts. Period. The pathetic fact is, we now live in a world that is LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, driven, in virtually everything they do, most especially in the Western countries, in the geophetic world, where LGBTQ holds absolute control over everything, and determines everything. It is a world where this base, vile, sexual conduct, these deviant sinful acts, are not only accepted, but they are now being normalized, and even celebrated and glorified, when it is downright reprobate-mindedness. For today in the West, homosexuality is celebrated every day, as they fought forward to normalize it in the news media, in soap operas, television dramas, and in films. The LGBTQ community hold pride parades, as if it is something virtuous, and by which means they have willfully and completely dulled the moral sensitivity of the people to this gross and abominable iniquity. The absolute and unchanging fact remains that homosexuality is an extremely perverse sexual conduct, just the same as a sin of bestiality, and equally the same as a sin of pedophilia, for they are all twisted sexual and demonic desires, and not even dogs, animals, do that. Think about it. The LGBTQ community even had the godless audacity to use the rainbow colors of God's covenant with man as their symbol, blatantly spitting in the face of God. Genesis 9. I will say this tonight, they may have a strong and overwhelming voice in government and in every sector of the human society, and they may have the law on their side in the Western world, where a very minuscule, extremely tiny, percentage of people, homosexuals, have overturned the lives of the general masses of people. However, there is a day coming when God Almighty is going to judge this highly iniquitous and abominable sexual conduct, it is written in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. They are creating utter chaos and confusion on the earth, perverting and twisting the entire human order. Homosexuals now have the legal right to adopt children, whom, no doubt, will be victims of their base sexual conduct, creating hell in the home, overturning the society of man, because two men or two women cannot reproduce. No wonder. More than half of the population of homosexuals divides. Sin cannot be tolerated, or entertained, or appeased, or encouraged by true Christians, true Bible believers, for although God loves the sinner, nevertheless, he hates sin, and hence, he demands that all men repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ, that they may be saved. Moreover, you must know that the love of God, the true love of God, is righteous, holy, and virtuous, not iniquitous, and most certainly not abominable, for it is not perverse. Do not be deceived, for God will judge iniquity. God will judge all abominable acts, regardless of what people think, and regardless of how much the world embraces and applauds such reprobate, warped acts, for sin is sin. If the Lord judged Sodom and Gomorrah, make no mistakes about it, he will equally judge this evil and wayward generation of moral perverts, for they are even worse. This is a day when iniquity has become bold, for iniquity now has a bold face. We now live in an era, which I call the vengeance of evil, the vengeance of iniquity. It is like iniquity has been judged for so long, and now that it has an open playing field in which to operate, it is saying, I will now deal ruthlessly with righteousness. Which is why I say that iniquity now has a bold face, and is terrorizing righteousness, for we are now facing the vengeance of evil. It is a sure and indisputable sign of the fact that we are now living in end times, the very end of the end. However, regardless of what any human government may say or do, for they are now censoring the preaching of the gospel of righteousness by criminalizing preaching against sin, we will preach against sin, because God will judge sin, all sin. They are using so-called hate laws to forbid preachers from calling iniquity by name. It is just as it is written in the book of Amos chapter 5, verse 10, where it plainly declares, They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Again, speaking about the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord declared in verses 8 to 14, Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, the prophets, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a bridge ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as a breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a share to take fire from the hearth, or to take water with out of the pit. For iniquity has an end, it has its definite end. Church, you must know that we are duty-bound to obey God rather than men, and as such, the Lord helping us, we will not be preaching smooth things, deceits, but only truth, God's revealed truth. It is the God-given responsibility of men in the ministry, preachers of righteousness, to raise up their voices in condemnation of iniquity, all unrighteousness. The voice of the true ministry is a voice that condemns sin, pointing the people back to the right way, the way of life. We are under a divine obligation to condemn all kinds of moral looseness and depravity, which is moral perversion. People do not have to believe it, but nevertheless, it is our place to condemn iniquity, for we are not condemning any race, we are only condemning sin, which is iniquity. And by the grace of God, we will condemn iniquity, regardless of whatever the world thinks or feels to the contrary. Therefore, my voice must be raised up to condemn all what the Lord God condemns in the Holy Scriptures. In a world filled to overflowing with mind-boggling iniquity, utterly abominable acts, total moral perversion, with all acts of depravity on the loose, and with the willful compromise of the Word of God by modern-day preachers, at least, let it be said that my voice was raised up against all iniquity, in total condemnation, outright condemnation, for there is an offense to the preaching of the true Word of God. Someone has to condemn iniquity. Someone has to condemn sin. What mortal man does not even realize is that whatsoever God condemns in His holy word stands condemned, for it remains absolutely condemned, even if the whole world approves it, and even if no one else condemns it. What is more, the ministry that the Lord has set over His elect children around the globe, most especially the watchman of the people of God, is expected to warn the people from iniquitous ways and of the impending judgment of God, the oncoming storm. Ezekiel 3 verses 16 to 19. It is his moral and spiritual duty under God, irrespective of any law of man that speaks to the contrary. For wheresoever the law of man conflicts with the word of God, and to the extent that it conflicts with the word of God, we will obey God, and not man. No government can successfully forbid true Bible believers from calling iniquity by its name, for sin will always remain sin. And Jesus Christ died to take away sin, all sin, if we will only believe. Moreover, it is neither wise nor safe to act contrary to one's conscience, because we have an endless eternity ahead of us, which we cannot afford to lose, and which no man, and no human government, can give to us, and they cannot take from us either, for they have absolutely no control over our conscience. Now the darkness has taken over the world, and gross darkness the people, just as prophet Isaiah had rightly prophesied. The ministry of the light must condemn iniquity, and he will condemn all iniquity, calling sin by its name. For sin is sin. Period. Brothers and sisters, this leads us to the next evil attribute we have listed on our chart, which still borders on moral degeneration, called transgenderism. Today, some men want to be identified as women, and some women want to be identified as men, and they are transgenders. They are not only changing their gender through medical means, making a man look just like a woman, with breasts and buttocks, either through hormone therapy or by surgical implants, the same way they are also making a woman look like a man, macho, with a beard, no breasts, and no Adam's apple, the lump that men have in their necks, equally through medical means, usually hormone therapy. In addition, they are teaching transgenderism as a lifestyle choice in schools, elementary schools, primary schools, colleges, after-school clubs, and anywhere that people will listen, in the Western world. They are brazenly indoctrinating and encouraging innocent little children in schools to transgender, whilst they deny their parents any right of saying the matter. And this is quite apart from the fact that they also bring drag queens into schools, to children's television shows, and to daycare centers, to entertain little children, to sell their perverted alternative lifestyle to the innocent and impressionable children, normalizing this twisted lifestyle. Pushing the transgender agenda has now become a crusade in schools. Brothers and sisters, this evil development is not only absolute perversion, but it is downright demonic. It is purely satanic. Some people transgender, but still retain their biological genitalia, whilst others undergo plastic surgery, operation, to remove it, and to reconstruct their desired genitalia. There was a particular program on TLC UK, where a white woman who transgendered to a man, looking and walking just like a man, who even had a small beard, was married to a biological woman, got pregnant. Their neighbors, however, did not know that this transgendered man was previously a woman, but they thought that she was actually a biological man. Now that this transgender man was pregnant, the couple had to go to their neighbors to inform them of the pregnancy, in order to remove any form of embarrassment which the pregnancy would cause in their neighborhood, seeing that the person they had known as a man was now pregnant, whilst the wife, who should be the pregnant one, was not. In reality, this was a marriage between two women. You must know that they got male sperm, which was implanted in the woman-turned-man, the woman-man, the she-he. In another case, in the same program, two transgender people got married. A man-turned woman, with full breasts and buttocks, very beautiful looking, married a woman-turned-man, who even had a beard, and who looked and walked just like a man. In other words, these legally married couples swapped their biological genders, they swapped their roles, for the man became a woman, and the woman became a man. A total reversal of gender and roles, which is utter confusion. The woman who identified as a man now got pregnant, and they found out it would be a baby girl. But the problem they discussed on television was what the baby would call him, who was a woman turned man, and now a mommy, being pregnant, but still the dog, being the man, who is really a biological woman, would the child call him daddy or mommy? Because the person who identified as a man, the person who looked like the daddy, and the person who conceived and will give birth, was actually a biologically woman, for she had retained the ability to conceive and reproduce. In total contrast, and in physical appearance, the man who identified as a woman was very stunning and voluptuous to look at, and you would have expected this he/she to be the mother of the new baby. This complete swapping of genders and roles by this couple is utter confusion. It is total perversion of creation, a complete twisting of humanity. Brothers and sisters, this is the height of demonology. Satan is seeking to take out gender and create hell on earth where there are no males and no females. And should this happen, you must see that it will give us nothing but the end of the human race. Since we are on the issue of transgender identity, we might as well touch on the issue of transracial identity. Transracial people are those who identify as being another race other than what they were born into, an example of whom is Martina Beck, a white German model and actress, who, in January 2017, undertook medical treatment to turn her skin color into that of a black woman. You can Google it to see a photo. When she traveled in February 2018 to Nairobi, Kenya, she was baptized by a pastor of a Baptist church, and she was given a new name, a baptismal name, called Naike Kobwer. We have a number of transracial people like her in the world, for this demon has now risen from the pit of hell. What a world! What can we say, but only to say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. This is what is going on in the West, right here at this evening time. They are teaching and encouraging children in schools to transgender, and they are even building transgender and gay topics into their school books and school curriculum, which is downright demonology. The transgender people can indoctrinate little and highly impressionable children with their demonic message, and encourage them to transgender as early as possible, when they are young. They do not, however, want parents or Christians to talk about Christianity to children in schools, for when you talk about Christianity, it then becomes hate. Lord have mercy on this demon possessed an insane generation of people. What an abominable and depraved-minded generation, a world of serpent seeds. What a satanic world. May I inform you tonight that a great percentage of transgenders end up committing suicide, because after they have transgendered, they then realize that they are not accepted by either side, by either of the genders. As they had hoped, and even the gay and lesbian community, do not always embrace or support them as they thought they would, leading an alarming number of transgender people to commit suicide. Because when a person transgenders, it really does not change who he or she is, biologically, regardless of the amount of plastic surgery, and once the deed is done, it cannot be undone in most cases, and this often leads them to depression, and eventually, to suicide. For the woman that transgenders into a man is still a woman, and vice versa. However, the governments keep the high rate of transgender suicides under wraps, so the world do not know. This is as a means of allowing many others to transgender, so that this demon can prosper. Just look at it, today, men are taking over women's sports, through transgenderism, which is not only unfair, but downright senseless. These cowards, who cannot face their fellow gender, the men, in sports, transgender as females, and take over women's sports. competing shamelessly with biological women. Think of this, a South African biological female athlete, Caster Semenya, a double Olympic 800 meters champion, was banned by the World Athletics from competing, except she takes a drug to reduce her natural testosterone level, because they think it is an unfair advantage to the other female athletes, as she is fast. Yet, these people will let a transgender man, from male to female, run with women, because we live in a most twisted, extremely racist, and wholly demonic world. It is on account of the same demon possession that makes the lawmakers in America allow a man who identifies as a woman, a transgender man, who still has his male genitalia, a known rapist, to be placed in a female prison, so he can continue his dastardly acts, raping female inmates, who are locked up with him in the same cell. And the same satanic thing is happening in prisons in Scotland, where men, biological men, who simply claim to be transgender, sex offenders, are placed in prisons with women, when these men still have their male genitalia. It is absolute lunacy, total insanity. Lord have mercy on this world of neurotics. Indeed, this is Satan's Eden, for humanity has been thrown completely to the dogs. It is a mad world, for the world has gone completely insane. Now, it is not enough for the LGBTQ to carry on their abominable lifestyles, but they want Christians to acknowledge it and approve it, and they also want to be preachers. May I remind you, brothers and sisters, that God has set a date when He will judge this abominable evil, along with all iniquitous and abominable deeds of men, and it is called the Day of the Lord. For the Lord is coming with great fire, with earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and tsunamis of unimaginable proportion, to wipe out all ungodly humanity. They will all be burnt out. Unless they repent, the earth will also swallow them up, and there will be no burial or memorial for any one of them in the millennium. Because we will have a new topography, a brand new earth crust surface. We brought up this truth in its full scriptural detail in the scribe, titled, The Day of the Lord. Until then, iniquity has its day, and it is clearly now. It is this last age, taken with the last week of Daniel. Following this, the Lord Jesus will then come, together with his saints, to take over the reins of the government of this planet for 1,000 unbroken years, ushering in a reign of global righteousness, peace, and prosperity. Amen. Church, we will now move on to consider the next verse laid out on our chart, which is fake news, because we now live in a world of fake news, a world of alternate reality. Let me warn you, saints, for I must sound a warning tonight. Do not readily and easily believe everything you read in the news media. I speak to the bride of Jesus Christ tonight. Do not readily believe everything you read in the news media or that you hear on television. Forget it. The news today is seriously doctored by governments and those in power who control the news outlets, news outfits, for we no longer have the truth on factual matters, as we are given what they want us to hear. Period. They spin the narrative, just as the major news media lied about Saddam Hussein, all because the American government under President Bush Jr. was hell-bent on ousting Saddam Hussein for their own secret economic objectives, using the lie of Iraq having weapons of mass destruction, which they most certainly did not have. So, they can cook any evidence they want to, because with technology, they can produce anything that does not exist. It is a world where you do not even know what is true anymore, regardless of how many of the news media talk about it. Because what the news media carries today is predicated onto principles, the principle of what is inoffensive to the political class and what is inoffensive to the economic powers that be, the business moguls behind their media establishments. Brothers and sisters, these are the two driving forces of the news media around the world today. Anything that offends these two principles will never be aired, however true it may be. I do not care whether it is BBC, I do not care whether it is CNN, I do not care whether it is Euronews, I do not care whether it is ABC, I do not care whether it is Fox News, I do not care whether it is CCTV News, I do not care whether it is Al Jazeera or Sky News, I do not care what news media it is, true news is dead. They only give us what they want to give us, and they leave out what is not in line with their political and or economic agenda. For News Today is completely doctored, restricted. Absolutely. Just consider this. Let one Muslim be killed, and that will immediately be covered by the world media. But who amongst them is covering the mass and dastardly killing of Christians around the globe by Islamic insurgents every blessed day? Come on! None of them are covering this news. And it is because the world, which is firmly set and controlled, is united against Christianity and the Holy Word of God, the Holy Bible. Simple. That is precisely why I said earlier that the news media gives us only what is in line with their political and economic agenda, and they also like to cover things up, or they give it a twist, a spin, to hide the truth. That is why sometimes we no longer know what is true from what is false. Particularly as leaders such as Donald Trump, the leader of the so-called free world, the leader of a superpower nation, usher the world into an era of fake news. For he can open his mouth, utter what is blatantly and glaringly false as truth, and maintain it, without batting an eyelid. He is able to brand what is absolutely true as fake news, creating utter confusion in the world, giving us a despicable and repugnant political leadership. Since we have entered an era where we can no longer trust the news media, and as such, we had better check and recheck the news we receive and spread. Men today, now wake up, willfully and brazenly throwing false news out there on the internet, for whatever reason, creating utter confusion in the world, because we have a class of humanity on earth today who have no prick of conscience, for they are nothing but spurned seeds. And there are also too many ignorant people on this planet who choose to now disbelieve even the things they thought to be true before. For example, the Holocaust, the world being round, and men landing on the moon. These are all considered to be fake news today. What a world! And what a sad reality! Brothers and sisters, coming to the next evil development on our charts, one that has also overtaken the world today, is modern-day slavery, sexual and domestic. Since, in case you are not aware, please know that slavery has come back big time. And if you think slavery is only happening in Africa, you are living in cuckoo land. Do you know how many children are being abducted every day in the United States alone as we speak? Well, there are over 350,000 children who are missing or abducted every year in the States, and a lot of these children will end up either as sex slaves or as domestic servants. Today, abducted girls are even being sold on the internet, on the dark web. Abducted girls are being sold online every day around the world to the highest bidder. Think about that. Now, just imagine what the state of things are like in the really high-risk countries such as Colombia, Mexico, Brazil, India, and the Philippines. However, when we speak specifically of sex trafficking, brothers and sisters, India leads the world with about 40 million victims trafficked, followed by China, then Pakistan, Thailand, and Bangladesh, for they are countries where sex trafficking is most rife, most prevalent. As we speak today, many people are being abducted into slavery all over the globe, including Europe. Why do you think the Western governments are desperately trying to fight the slave traffickers? Why do you even think it is now very difficult to travel on an international flight with a minor, without the proper documentation, without both parents being present, even if the child is yours? Today, little girls and women are being abducted and forcibly made to work as sex slaves to give service to men, completely against their will, without any way out. And this gives us sexual slavery, and most times, this is done with the collusion of family members. In this Laodicean age, and as we speak today, both men and women, boys and girls are being abducted and sold into slavery, domestic slavery, to serve the bidding of their masters, totally against their will, and they are considered to be property. In the Arabian countries, there are a great volume of such domestic slaves, slave workers. Brothers and sisters, we would expect, as we live in modern times, with so much advancement in knowledge, that such wicked and barbaric things would not be happening. However, it is a very grim reality we face today, because as we must continue to reiterate, plant seeds, like weeds and pests, have now overrun this entire planet. And it is happening because we are indeed at the end time, and all the evil spirits are here, bringing evil seeds to maturity, here at harvest time. That is why slavery has returned, even in the southern parts of the United States, for we are back to modern-day slavery. In view of this terrible development that now abounds in the earth, you must take care of your children, and be very watchful, because abductions can happen any time, for slavery is back, both sexual and domestic slavery. The next evil we now want to consider is drug addiction, hard drug addiction, narcotics. Since we live in a world that has been ravaged by drug addiction, and we are not only talking about narcotics like cocaine, heroin, marijuana, we are also looking at all sorts of man-made concoctions, illicit drugs, such as speed, LSD, methamphetamine, meth, and fentanyl, all of which makes the use high and causes hallucination and all insane reactions, and a great number of addicts end up losing their minds, for they simply run amok, they go insane, whilst others end up dead. It is incalculable the damage that drug addiction has brought upon the world, with innumerable lives wrecked, completely shattered irreparably, brilliant minds completely taken over by the drug use, and the users become bums, junkies, total slaves to their addiction. The crazy money involved in narcotics has created drug lords, drug cartels, and drug wars, where lives are maimed and people are butchered in the most cruel and inhuman ways on the streets, particularly in countries like Colombia and Mexico. However, there are five countries with severe drug problems, and they are Afghanistan, Iran, Russia, the United States, and Great Britain. May I add that around the world, people are now even being hooked even on medical drugs, medical prescriptions, opioids. In the United States, people have a case full of pills. They take pills in the morning, and pills in the afternoon, then more pills in the evening. There is a pill being developed for everything that mankind desires. For the world is hooked on medical drugs, and the pharmaceutical companies are smiling all the way to the bank. Big Pharma need the world to be unhealthy, and they need one and all to be hooked on their drugs, treating only the symptoms and not necessarily the ailments, in order to keep declaring their billions of dollars in profit. Are you listening to what I am saying? This is a horrible reality we face on earth today, in a world that is clearly on its way out, a world of serpent seeds. Church, we will move on to consider the next virus that is shaking the world, and that is murders. The whole world tonight is reeking and reeling with murders, cold-blooded murders. After the very first murder, committed on this planet by Cain, the seed of the serpent, when he killed his brother, Abel, callously and most unjustly. Humans just love to kill each other, without any prick of conscience, because life to them is nothing, meaningless, like the fellow human beings have absolutely no value in this world of serpent seeds. Only God knows how many people have been murdered, and are murdered every day around the globe, for the world is full of murder. People are being killed, and others love to kill for almost anything and everything. They kill for any reason and every reason, without a prick of conscience. Murder has become the solution to most of man's problems, and the way out of any given situation on the planet. Don't like this person, just kill to get rid of them. Want this person, just kill to have them. It seems like a comedy, but just go and Google it, and see for yourself. It is unbelievable. Following this virus on our chart is that of global violence and insecurity, which really follows on from the murders, and is an extension of that vice. Since, as we speak this day, we have violence all over the globe, senseless violence, mindless violence, for the world is simply running amok with violence. People are being intentionally and wickedly maimed for life, and an innumerable number of people end up being killed as a result of the mindless, senseless, and callous methods being used every day around the world. There are innumerable serial killers on the loose in various cities around the world, with people being knifed and left for dead on the streets, whilst others have raw acid poured on their faces in the streets, disfiguring and damaging them for life, and others just like to inflict pain because it is a disease, a drug that they need to keep them alive, causing the everyday suffering of man by the inhumanity of man. In North Africa, for example, people seeking to cross the Sahara Desert are being abducted and turned into slaves, whilst many others are cut open, butchered like livestock, and have their organs, such as their hearts, their kidneys, and their livers harvested, whilst still alive. They are butchered up for their body parts to be sold for money, and these people are left to die in colossal pain and agony. Many people are similarly being attacked and killed in China for their organs, the mind-boggling inhumanity of man to man. What an incredibly violent, utterly barbaric, and extremely mindless generation of humanity. This is why there is so much insecurity in this world in which we now live, for the world is groaning. It is a world filled to the brim with sadists, Cainites, who cannot sleep unless and until they torture and torment their fellow human beings, committing outrageous violence to men, just for mere demonic pleasure. What a world! And what a very strange and different class of humanity that now roams this planet. They are certainly not human beings, but their soul-leading men possess entities, whom Apostle Paul referred to as the children of disobedience. Ephesians verse 2 and Ephesians 5 verse 6. We are most definitely back to the days of Noah, days of senseless and mindless global violence and wickedness, causing great unrest and insecurity on the planet. Look at the next evil attribute on our chart, abduction and extortion. Abduction for extortion is now the in thing, even in Nigeria. Abduction for extortion is the abduction slash kidnapping of people for ransom, to demand payment kidnapping. And though global, it is now the in thing in Nigeria. Many people living in the villages, the countryside, are now being abducted. The poor, the helpless, and the old folks are being abducted, and they are forced to call their children abroad or in the city to pay the multi-million sums of money demanded as ransom, or they lose their lives. It is a global evil. Kidnapping is all over the globe, but this demand has finally arrived on the shores of Nigeria. There is no longer anything humane in human beings, for the class of human beings we have today have no milk of kindness, and neither do they have any ounce of mercy, nor do they have any conscience. Men have become more or less like brute beasts, and everything is about money. Hence, they will do anything for money, because money is their god, regardless of the cost to others. That is why human lives have become meaningless and worthless to this evil class of humanity walking the planet tonight. Let me tell you this, as a bride of Christ, we do not worship money, because money is not our god. That is precisely why we do not preach material prosperity, for the gospel of prosperity that is being peddled around the globe today is an apostate message. It takes proper children of Lucifer to make the death of Jesus Christ an issue of money. For Jesus the Christ did not die to enable us to have money and material things. He died to give us eternal life. Therefore, with all your money and earthly possessions, if you do not have Jesus Christ, you will perish with all that you have. Money is not everything, but the revelation of Jesus Christ is everything. I would rather die a pauper than chase after vanity. I would rather die a beggar than die chasing after vanity. I would rather die a poor man than preach a material gospel, which is blatantly false and completely antichrist. Out there in the world today, people no longer care for a good name, they do not care for honor and integrity. All they care for, and all they know, is money, and they will do just anything to get it. That is why they die young, and they die miserable deaths, and they wake up in hell, because of the very evil things they have done to make their money in this world. You should know that you came into the world with nothing, and you are taking absolutely nothing with you on your way out. You came to this world naked, and you are going back naked. You did not come to this world with money, and even if you were buried with your unlimited stash of dollars, your body will corrupt, and it will cause all that stash of money to also corrode. There is not one dime, and neither are there any material goods that you will take with you to the other side, but you will only take the state of your soul. The material question is, what is in your soul? Jesus Christ or Satan? life or death, because the soul of man does not allow for a vacuum, and as such, it is either your soul has eternal life that Jesus gives, or it has death. Period. For a greater death is coming after this physical death, for all who reject Jesus Christ, and that is the death of the soul, in the lake of fire. That is the death we fear, and not the first death, which is the physical death, the very reason we do not fear those who can only kill the body, but have no power over the soul. So, we do not care for the people who hate us, and want to kill us, just because we love the Lord and His word. We care less, for they can only make us matters of Christ. I am making a point, brothers and sisters, and my point is that kidnapping, abduction for extortion, is now the order of the day. And it is all because humanity has lost compassion and mercy, for man has become just like beasts. This brings us to the next vile attribute on our chart, which is extreme greed and selfishness, evil spirits that rule this world. They never have enough, and they must have everything. Every business deal and every contract, they must have it. Every pattern that promises to make enormous amounts of money, they must have, even if they have to kill the owner of the patent for it, as they just never have enough, and they never will. Extreme greed and selfishness is what drives fallen man on every issue you can think of, for man is just too greedy and too selfish, too self-centered, which is precisely why they only think in terms of themselves and nothing more. One man wants to own the whole land, leaving other people to live on top of one another in a little hole, yet he is very comfortable with that sad state of things. Oh my! Do you know what the Lord says through prophet Isaiah? In the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, it is written, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." Brothers and sisters, I am making a point. The driving force of the world, an extremely evil and powerful force driving humanity, fallen in a regenerated humanity, is extreme greed and selfishness. They do not want anyone else to have anything, or to succeed. They want everything for themselves, and for themselves alone. Neither do they want anyone else to be anything, except themselves and themselves alone. It is a very horrible world, where the poor and the less privileged are consistently and perpetually exploited, overexploited in fact, and taking total advantage of, in virtually everything. We live in an extremely selfish and greedy world, and that is what is killing humanity, which is why it has now become a world ruled by the jungle law of the survival of the fittest. That is precisely why man is overexploiting the resources of the earth, as it is all for massive profit, massive turnover, which does not benefit any of the workers, only the seals, and the name of this evil spirit is greed. Now, greedy man, even now wants to start mining the rocks on the moon. Think about it. What an extremely insatiable, utterly, and incredibly greedy, and insanely covetous bunch of humanity they are, where money and materialism is everything to them, for it is their god. Which is why we live in a dog-eat-dog world, a horrible class of humanity, where there is no care or consideration for fellow human beings. They will totally cripple, maim, and decimate a whole community, if they have to, because nothing gets in the way of their material and financial accumulation and progress. The poor and the lowly must be kept perpetually down at all costs. Supplanted per excellence. This is the demand that drives the political leadership of the world. And it is the very same demand that drives business moguls, pharmaceutical companies, multinational companies, and giant business conglomerates, the insatiable lust for profit, big profit, called greed, the green-eyed monster, the green-eyed demon. Brothers and sisters, moving on to consider the subsequent evil attribute on our chart, one that is now a pandemic and an alarming development, is the suicide epidemic. Almost 800,000 people commit suicide every year, for various different reasons, the general pressures of life, for example, people losing their jobs in their homes and not having a way out, debts they cannot pay, and do not know how to pay, students under great pressure on account of their academic work, depression, disappointments, or just the overwhelming fear of the unending evils that are coming upon the world, which is most alarming news. Men are committing suicide every day, fulfilling what Jesus predicted in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 26, stating, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Now listen to this, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. They just cannot handle the news, as the evil developments taking place on the earth are just too much for them to take, that it completely overwhelms them, and as unbelievers, with no way out, and no hope, they lose all desire for life, and they simply commit suicide. Some simply suffer a heart attack, and die just listening to the news. Moving on, we now come to the vibe that follows on our chart, which is abhorrent hatred. Since we are looking at hatred for no genuine reason, it is an evil monster that is ravaging humanity as we speak, for it is a pandemic, a global evil, one which sets man against his fellow man. Abhorrent hatred is an extremely self-consuming evil, because it consumes the possessor, much more than it does a person who is the object of the hatred, and it is an evil spirit that has taken over humanity, on different levels, and in different ways. Church, there is something going on around the world tonight, an evil tsunami, that is hatred. Raw hatred, baseless hate. People just hate for hate's sake, and that is downright satanic. They hate because of the color of a person's skin, the simple fact that someone is black, and not that he has done anything wrong to them, but because he is black. It is called racism, and it has led to the establishment of such groups like the Black Lives Matter, BLM, movement, who are seeking to shake the world to the realization of the crucial fact that blacks are constantly, consistently, and continuously harassed, oppressed, subjugated, kept down, enslaved, unduly profiled, discriminated against, and dehumanized, and that their lives should matter, just as white lives have always mattered. It is based on the holy Christian principle that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ advocated, an absolute principle which Moses also advocated in the Torah, for it is wholly divine, and it is simply this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Mark 12, verse 31. Period. And according to our Savior Jesus Christ, this is the second greatest commandment of all. Mark 12, verses 29 to 31. And if you truly love your neighbor as yourself, you will treat your neighbor exactly as you would wish to be treated if you are in the same shoe, for anything else is of the devil. Because the world just cannot be held together without the template of love, mercy, neighborliness, consideration, and fairness, with God at the center of our lives. We all know that things will never change, but only get worse, because this is Satan's world, and because we are at the very end. Hence, raw hatred thrives, and for this reason, the color of a person's skin invites hatred upon them, and it will continue to invite their hatred, however well behaved and law-abiding they may be. That is on one level, a racial level. However, the fact is that people also hate on a tribal and or ethnic level. They hate a person because of his tribe or ethnic origin, the tribe or ethnic group he comes from in the nation, just as it happened to the Tutsis in Rwanda. I say this because pure hatred manifests itself on different levels. People also hate you because of who you are, the simple fact that you are a Christian. Yet, we are at liberty to believe the word of God, and to worship God solely in the light of His word. We are not asking anyone who is not interested to believe, and neither are we forcing anyone to believe. We have a right to believe what we want to believe, what we choose to believe, as free moral agents. And let me say this tonight, there is no government on this planet that can take that right away from true believers. For as the rallying song of Martin Luther, the battle hymn of the Reformation, sung during the Protestant Reformation, states, "The body they make ill, God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever." They can only persecute and kill us as Christians, just as they have always done, And just as they are doing to Christians around the globe today as we speak, but they most certainly cannot take this right away from us. For even in death, we will still believe the Holy Bible, the Word of God, because as it is written in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." It is not for nothing that in Hebrews chapter 11, the Holy Bible says of Abel, who was wickedly killed for his faith by Cain, plainly declaring in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." The sacrifice of Abel is still speaking, and even though we may also be killed, just like Christians who are being dastardly killed around the globe, particularly by Islamic jihadists, Islamic fundamentalists, nevertheless, our faith will equally continue to speak, even in death. Hallelujah. People are also hated because of the position they occupy in life. They are hated because of the blessings they receive. They are hated because of their success. They are hated because they have something which those who hate them do not have and wish to have. Hatred comes in various colors, sizes, and shapes. Let me warn you, brothers and sisters, there is no plague like the plague of abhorrent hatred, for it will kill the soul of the person who bears it, because it is just as corrosive as sulfuric acid. You cannot have raw hate in your heart and be a true Christian. You cannot have hate ruling your life and yet know God. And neither can you have hate and make it with God, for God is love, pure and holy love, for nothing but divine love will make it to heaven. Full stop. Hatred is a wall that separates a man from his maker, for hate is of the devil. Hate is evil. There is no reason to hate your fellow human beings, particularly when they have not wronged you. For us, the children of light, the Lord demands that we forgive those who wrong us. That is precisely why, as believers, we have no enemies, except Lucifer, the devil. I do not even have any man as an enemy, for Lucifer is my only enemy. I have no human enemy anywhere on this planet. I may not believe or agree with a particular person, and I may stand firmly against that person on account of faith, but he does not become my enemy because of that, and as such, if I meet him on the road, I will most certainly and happily greet him, and render any help he may require of me, if he needs my help. He does not become my enemy, just because he does not believe, because people are at liberty to believe what they want to believe. I cannot hate you because of what you believe, even though I may not walk with you, if we believe differently, because as it is written, they cannot walk together, unless they agree on the strict basis of the Word of God. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. The fact remains, however, that I cannot hate you for what you believe, because walking with God is not about me, for I am not the Savior, and moreover, you are at total liberty to believe whatever you want to believe, as a free moral agent. That is why we do not hate Hindus, we do not hate Sikhs, we do not hate Buddhists, we do not hate Muslims, we just do not hate people of other religious beliefs. For just as I am entitled to my Christian faith, they too are entitled to their Islamic faith, or to their Hindu faith, etc. All I can do is to respect them for their faith, and to show them courtesy. Period. I do not need to believe with them, but I am expected to respect them, although I am also at liberty to show my own people where all these other religions miss it, where the other religions miss God, based solely on the Word of God, for indeed, Jesus Christ is the only way. And if men of other religions have a respectful discussion with me, I would be at liberty to show them where they miss it. That is the least we owe humanity, for we have the responsibility to show them the truth, and let them make up their own minds which way they will follow as free moral agents. Are you listening to me? You just cannot afford to harbor or entertain this thing called hatred, for like the sin of unforgiveness, the sin of malice is a serious killer. It is a spiritual killer, for it totally consumes the bearer. Hence, hatred is too expensive for me. When you have hatred in your heart, you can pray all you want to, you can sin all you want to, you can testify all you want to, And you can also believe all you want to. You are only wasting your time, because you just built a concrete wall around yourself against God, and it is cancer in your soul. Hatred is a thick spiritual wall. Hatred is a 12-meter barrier that shuts you out from God completely. Unfortunately, we live in a world of hate, raw undiluted hate. And it is a monster that is also going to consume humanity. It is one of the great and extremely potent tools of evil that Satan is going to use to bring man to the Third World War, the Battle of Armageddon, nuclear holocaust. For he will use hatred and man's desire for world domination, their loves for global superiority. Church, we will now move to consider the next vibes we have on our chart, which is piracy and hijacking. Today, we have piracy and hijackings on our seas. Piracy was something we read about in the last century, for it was an evil which plagued the world many centuries ago, that we thought had gone, as we believed it belonged to an age of antiquity, old times. But it is now back big time. Brothers and sisters, traveling on the high seas used to be safe, but it is no longer safe, as piracy has come back. And the evil of hijacking is also a rampant development around the world. Containers, with trailer loads of trucks and vans filled with goods, as well as cars, are hijacked every day. We even have plane hijackings, which is what Islamic terrorists used to bring down the Twin Tower of the World Trade Center in New York on September 11, 2001, 9/11. The world has never been the same since that day, and it will never be the same again. Next, we come to the vice of armed robbery, which is quite apart from the evil activities of petty thieves who steal mobile phones, tablets, iPads, money, merchandise, and other personal effects. Are you listening to me? Brothers and sisters, we live in a world of armed robbery, where people, hoodlums, carry guns and explosives to rob people, homes, banks, shops, and they maim and kill in doing so, because they have no regard for human lives. Only God knows just how many people have lost their lives to armed robbers, senseless killers. For these daredevils, it is not enough for them to rob, but they must also kill in order to have their way, and to also hide their identities, if and when their cover is blown. It is a global evil, causing great fear and anxiety, sleepless nights, bringing great insecurity to both life and property. Finally, brothers and sisters, we will now move to consider the last evil attribute of Satan on our chart, which is swindlers and fraudsters. Welcome to the world of con men. Since con men operate on different levels, and they are swindling people out of their entire life savings, hard-earned money, property, goods, you name it. It is a very wayward, most evil, extremely crooked, utterly wicked, and base generation of humanity, who are bringing havoc to countless lives and families around the globe. These crooked operations have caused many people to commit suicide, not knowing how they can ever recover from the swindle. What a world! What an extremely evil, most selfish, violent, wicked, degenerate, perverse, and completely bankrupt world. What a world we now live in. What a strange world. A world whose activities vex our righteous souls every blessed day, on every level, and on all fronts. Brothers and sisters, having x-rayed the extremely grim and most horrible conditions of the world today, our world, let us now ask ourselves this very pertinent question. Why is the world in such a terrible and unprecedented evil state? That is part of what we want to lay out in this message, by the grace of God. Please come with me to the Holy Scriptures, for I have to take you back to the very beginning, to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6, look at what the Holy Bible says in verses 5 to 13. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, imperfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And that was exactly what God did. He wiped out that entire generation of humanity, and started afresh, using only Noah and his family to start a new world, the second world, of which we are now at its end. Brothers and sisters, so we see here in Genesis, in the day, it was a world of violence and wickedness. The law said that the imagination of the thoughts in the hearts of man was only evil continually, just as it is today. They seek in their homes, and all they think about is how to scam, con, or defraud someone else. They scam old pensioners out of their entire life savings, what they have worked for all their lives, without any prick or conscience. They seek in their homes, and all they think about is how to wreck another person's life. They seek in their homes, and all they think about is how to wreck someone else's business, and run it underground. They seek in their homes, and all they think about is how to take over someone else's business. They seek in their homes, and think of how to pull someone down. They seek in their homes, and think of how they can maim and kill someone. They seek in their homes, and think of how they can gang rape one lady or the other. They seek in their homes, and think of how they can get someone drugged and hooked on cocaine or meth. They seek in their homes, and think of how they can spike a lady's drink at a nightclub or party, so she can be sexually violated, raped, and the violation recorded on video. They seek in their homes, and think of how they can kidnap someone. They seek in their homes, and think about how they can destroy someone's image, or how they can blackmail a particular fellow human being. Only the fire on the day of the Lord can and will cleanse this mind-boggling evil, this extremely demonically wicked world, a world filled to overflowing with serpent seeds who have come to full maturity. Brothers and sisters, in Genesis, in the days of Noah, the thoughts of men was only evil continually, and we have to see that we are back to the days of Genesis. It is just as Jesus Christ had predicted in Luke chapter 17, which is precisely why there is no end to the evils man is hatching out today, the evils they are perpetrating every day on their fellow human beings. We are right back to the prophetic setting in Genesis, when God sent the great flood, and now, fire will be coming. Look at what Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, also records, and it came to pass, when men, the lineage of Cain, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, saw the daughters of men, the Canaanite daughters, that they were fair, beautiful, attractive, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Church, please listen closely to me. The separation that was established between the lineage of Seth, the Adamic lineage, who were the seeds of God, and the lineage of Cain, who were the seeds of the serpent, Satan's vicarious children, was completely blurred through mixed marriages, by the vulgar and godless dressing, coupled with the seductive presentation of the beautiful Canaanite daughters. The moral wall of resistance of the sons of God was completely broken down, and the lineage of Seth also went into moral debauchery, and polygamy was introduced into this holy lineage. I can see the Canaanite daughters dressed seductively, with all their wares opened up enticingly for all to see and gawk at, mingling and twisting as they walked along the road, just as girls and women do all over the world today, a world where women also sell their wares dressed in their vulgar apparel, spreading lust among men by the carloads. The devil anointed the daughters of the lineage of Cain, serpent seeds, to use the evil weapon of seductive terrorism against the sons of God. And then, this is what happened. The sons of God lost their separation, and immorality broke out among them, until they were taking wives as many as they chose. For the spirit of lust had completely taken over their lives, all motivated by the vulgar appearance and presentation of the daughters of the Canaanites. They saw this one, and they wanted her. They see that one, and they also wanted her, for they were beautiful and alluring. And polygamy broke out, because they could not have enough wives. Church, yet, this holy matrimony, this holy relationship, a monogamous marriage, which is a strictly heterosexual relationship, was established by God exclusively between one man in one woman, Adam and Eve. However, the sons of God began to marry the daughters of men, and the two completely different and distinct lineages crossed, which was misogynetic, interracial marriage, an evil development that was not meant to be. It was in Genesis chapter 6 where we see misogynation coming to its head, as the devil will carry it through time. For here at the end time, he will seek to use it to brew down all the different races of people that God created, because it is the devil's business to mess with and mess up the variety that God has established on the planet. Church, so we see in Genesis that misogynation was introduced because the Sethites ought to have married only Sethites and not marry the Canaanites, in the same way that black people should only marry black people, white people should marry only white people, yellow people should only marry yellow people, and brown people should marry only brown people. Are you listening to me? For the reason God made different races is because He is the God of variety, who loves and wants variety, incredible variety, and diversity. Variety obtains and abounds in all animals, and they maintain their varieties. Variety obtains and abounds in all birds, and they maintain their varieties. Variety obtains and abounds in all fishes, and they maintain their varieties. Variety obtains and abounds in all insects, and they maintain their varieties. Variety even obtains and abounds in all microbes, and they maintain their varieties. Even in all plants, there are innumerable varieties, and the plants maintain their varieties, because our God is a God of variety, and the same variety He equally introduced in men. However, in Genesis chapter 6, the devil planted a seed, the seed of misogynation, an evil which would be taken through time, a truth we dealt with in the scribe titled God and Races. For anyone who is interested in knowing the truth of God relating to human creation. Therefore, in Genesis chapter 6, we not only see immorality, polygamy, and mixed marriages, misogynation, but we also see violence and wickedness, an era when the thoughts of man was only continually evil. Welcome to the days of Noah, for we are back in Noah's day. Church, the crucial question we now want to ask is this: what brought the world back to the days of Noah? It is just as we asked earlier, why is the world in such a terrible and an unprecedented state of evil? I will tell you exactly what has caused it, and then we will close to continue in the morning by the grace of God. I thank you for your patience, and may God help me. Brothers and sisters, there are two main reasons, two fundamental reasons, why the world is in such a horrible evil state today. In order to lay out the first reason, please come with me to the Word of God. When we come to Revelation chapter 12, the Holy Bible states in verses 7 to 10, "And there was war in heaven, around the opening of the 70th week of Daniel, for the control of the skies. Michael and his angels fought against a dragon, Satan, who is embedded in the Roman beast, which today gives us the European Union. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Satan and his hosts prevailed not, for they were defeated. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They were no longer allowed in the heavenly realm, the sky directly above the earth, from where Lucifer and his fallen angels operate, and from where they control the earth. And the great dragon was cast out of heaven, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him into the earth, right at the middle of the last week of Daniel, that they may fully embed themselves in the human society, although right now they are still operating from the heavens, the skies. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Skipping to verse 12, the Holy Bible now provides, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe, pain, misery, anguish, to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. From this prophetic passage of the Holy Scriptures, we see that Satan will be driven down to earth in the middle of the last week, when he will incarnate the Pope of Rome Avatar, the man of sin, the Antichrist. However, earlier in verse 3, it is written, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, the spirit of Lucifer embedded in the Roman base empire, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads," which at this same time gives us the European Union, the restored geographical entity of the old Roman-based political empire. Now watch verse 4a, for that is precisely where we are going, and it records about Lucifer, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, meaning he led 1/3 of the angels of God in rebellion against God, and did cast them to the earth, meaning he caused them to fall, thereby losing their position in heaven, although they still have access to heaven, and they also still operate from heaven, the skies immediately above the earth. Therefore, in verse 4a, we are clearly told that Satan caused 1/3 of the angels of God to fall. Brothers and sisters, the picture therefore is precisely what we have portrayed right here. Brother Amos points to the chart on the top left section, showing us angels that were cast to the earth, who are now demons, for they have been completely stripped of their divine glory. These fallen angels, saints of God, are the spirits responsible for every evil act and conduct, every evil and ungodly affection that is manifested on earth tonight, every wicked, violent, and despicable act. All the vices we listed here, Brother Amos points to the chart on the entire left section of the chart, are the footprints, the trademarks of these fallen angels, for their evil operations responsible for the present satanic state of the world. May I add that no chart is big enough to contain all the evils that go on in humanity, for they are simply innumerable. You can add many more vices to what we have listed on our chart, for we most certainly did not cover all, and we do not intend to cover all, as it is not necessary. Nevertheless, what we have shown in X-rayed on our chart clearly shows the most deplorable and extremely terrible state of the world as we speak. In other words, what we have portrayed on the left side of the chart is an X-ray of the evil reality we are facing today, a grim picture of the world we now live in. Consequently, we will ask again, why is the world, humanity, in such a terrible and extremely evil state now? Brothers and sisters, it is because of the evil presence and the evil activities of the fallen angels, demons. You are looking squarely at the operations of demons, fallen angels. For right now, fallen angels are operating from the skies above the earth, controlling human society, as they have not yet been driven down to earth, losing their access to heaven, for that will take place only in the middle of the 70th week. However, brothers and sisters, just think, they have not yet been driven down, but look at what they have created on earth, an utterly evil and incredibly perverse society of man, a twisted and chaotic society. So far, fallen angels have not been driven down. Yet, we have a society of humanity that have gone berserk, completely insane, which is why I am saying that they are no longer mere human beings walking the streets, but solely demon-possessed and demon-controlled humanity. Yes, it is true that they are greatly technologically advanced, eating voraciously from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They possess a great wealth of earthly knowledge, temporal knowledge, but just take the mobile phones, the tablets, and the computer systems away from their hands, and they are as senseless can be, as dumb can be. All they know is how to press buttons of technology, and do things with it, but they know nothing of life, and they understand nothing of life, for they are as empty can be, more like a pack of morons, imbeciles. They have no clue about life, and neither do they even see or know anything about the world around them, because they live in their phones and tablets, glued to social media. It is a deranged society. So, in answer to our question, as to why it is like this, it is the oppression of demons. Brothers and sisters, technology does not make people wise, which is why the more technologically advanced they get, the more stupid they get, the more senseless and idiotic they are, and the more perverse they get, for they are only getting farther and farther removed from God, losing all God essence. That is why we now live in a world I often call a world of stupid. Because when the knowledge of God is taken from man, they descend into the state of an animal, a state of anarchy. They have to. Whenever the knowledge of God is stripped from humanity, they become no different to beasts, for they become base. In fact, they become worse than beasts, because beasts were not created with a soul, and beasts were not created to worship their maker, only to serve his purpose, which they are doing faithfully. Furthermore, beasts were not given the reasoning power such as men have, and yet, beasts have more morals, 1,000 times more than this present, wayward, morally degenerate, and bankrupt generation of people. What is happening in the earth? It is the oppression of fallen angels, for demons have taken over the human society. Why do you think human beings go to the shops and buy jeans trousers that have been shredded, torn to bits, and wear such on an international flight, like mad people, neurotics? It is because the devil has blown their brains out and has twisted their minds, giving them reprobates. It is a world full of neurotics. Years ago, if your trousers had a little cut, if it had a little tear, you could not wear it out, all out of moral decency, personal dignity, and self-respect. Years ago, when the society of man still had some sense, when the society of man was still sane, when it still had some moral decency, if your trousers had a slit, you could not wear it out, let alone wear it to a function, or on an international flight. It was only the mad people on the streets, and poor beggars that wore such clothes. But now, it is a thing of glory for warp-minded humanity. Something extremely serious has happened to humanity, because they are suffering from acute brain damage. Now, look at it. The devil blew out their brains with a bazooka, and turned them into a pack of morons. Fallen angels anointed Satan's children, who set the pace for high street wear, to take a pair of jeans, make it look old and dirty, shred it in various places, to expose their kneecaps, thighs, etc., and some even come with a big gaping patch, which does not even cover anything, and they sell such garbage to humanity as the latest style, thin thin. What is more, such degenerate-looking jeans are even more expensive than the decent and dignifying trousers. Think about it. What does that tell you of the wearer? Your guess is as good as mine, for they are most certainly not in their right minds. You have to see the influence and oppression of demons, for we now live in a world of neurotics, and it is downright madness, insanity. Others wear trousers that are so big, they look like they took their grandfather's trousers, and they wear them sagging, sweeping the floor, folding on one another. They look totally deranged, with the trousers falling below their buttocks, displaying their underpants, their underwear, with their laced trainers, looking like trash, garbage. We are yet to know exactly what they want to look like. Saints of God, this is the worst class of human beings ever to walk on this planet, and it is only because we are at the end, the very end, for supplant seeds have come to maturity, full maturity. I am simply showing you the extremely sorry state of humanity, and I have a reason for taking this route. It is very important that as the elect bride of Jesus Christ, we know just how late the time is, for it is much later than we think. Open your eyes, and see the raw operations of demons, the evident footprints of fallen angels in the human society at this end time. You have to know exactly what the day is saying, because the return of Jesus Christ is at the doors. People even have the audacity to wear these ridiculous outfits to church, looking like total garbage. And do you know the latest in thing? Men are now wearing blazers, jackets, that are very small and short, hardly covering their torso, hardly covering their upper body, because the jackets they are now wearing look like they belong to their younger brother. These ill-fitting jackets are usually worn with skin-tight trousers, also short, reaching their ankles, making men look ridiculous. These are royal fashions for idiots and imbeciles. It is a mentally deranged world. Brothers and sisters, if that is not insanity, then I ask you, what does it mean to be insane? Come on! When you are insane, you are not in your right mind, and as such, you do not know your autopathetic state because of your acute state of amnesia. You have to be insane to dress like a lunatic. You have to be insane to dress like garbage. You have to be insane to wear shredder jeans in public. You have to be insane to wear your underpants on your head. Are you listening to me? It is downright insanity, and there are different levels of insanity. Brothers and sisters, I am painting a picture for you, for incredible things are happening on the earth today. Troubling things are happening on the earth as we speak. What does this show us, brothers and sisters? It clearly shows us that we are now living in an era where the world has lost it, for they have lost their minds completely. It also proves that there is no future for this generation, for this is exactly where it all ends. So, wake up and get your souls ready for the soon return of Christ, for as we brought out in the scribe, perilous times are here. They most certainly are here. Open your eyes and see the operations of devils. Brothers and sisters, I am making a very crucial point, and it is that the fallen angels we see conveyed in Revelation 12 verse 4a are the ones responsible for the evil and mind-boggling sights we see today. I thank God for our brother William Branham for the revelation of the seed of the serpent, and nothing makes better sense. When we look at humanity today, you have to agree with me that this is the worst class of human beings ever to walk in leather shoes. Why is that? It is because serpent seeds have come to maturity. The seeds of the serpent, Lucifer, the king of chaos, the prince of anarchy, have come to full maturity. For the spirit that is opposed to all righteousness, all goodness, and all morality, the king of all iniquity, has taken over humanity, expressing all of his evil attributes through humanity, choking out every trace of God and every trace of the children of light. And if this is what the demons have produced, I hate to think what this world will be like. When Lucifer and his evil hosts are eventually and literally driven down to earth, in the last week of Daniel, do not forget that according to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, under the fifth trumpet, hell is still going to be opened up to give humanity a grand party, an adieu, a send-off, from planet Earth. That passage records, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star, an angel, fall from heaven unto the earth," meaning that he came down to earth, "and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, which is hell. And he opened the bottomless pit, thereby releasing all the evil spirits we see in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now listen to this, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Think about that. What a day is coming. What a day that will be, when God looks at humanity and says, "Because of your hatred of me, you spat in my face, you trampled on my word, you blasphemed my name, you ridiculed and persecuted my children. And because you love Lucifer, I will give you all of Lucifer. So, have the whole of hell, and enjoy yourselves. Saints, I wonder what this world will be like when hell is emptied of all the demons that are presently bound in it, and they are released on the earth. Look at the state of the human society as it is, for it is terrible enough. Sure, they have technology, but it has not made any difference to their lives. For the more technology they have, the more evil things, the more perverseness, the more violence, and the more wickedness that is being perpetrated around the world. The more technologically advanced and educated they get, the more violent, the more wicked, the more degenerate, the more perverse, the more evil, the more hateful, the more selfish, the more greedy, and the more godless humanity becomes. Therefore, we must realize that the answer is not in science and technology, because it is not in the candle and temporal education of man, but the answer is Jesus, for it is Jesus Christ that the world needs, for Jesus is the answer, the only answer, and he is the final answer. Brothers and sisters, the palpable darkness we see today that has engulfed the whole of humanity forms a necessary backdrop for my message. For we now live in a world where the spirit of Lucifer, together with the other fallen angels, demons, have embedded themselves in the human society, bringing about gross and unprecedented lawlessness in humanity. It is an extremely twisted and degenerate generation of people, totally morally bankrupt. They are a completely godless and God-hating generation of humanity. They are a Bible-hating, Christian-killing, God-defying, evil and wayward generation of people. What we have all over the globe is violence and evil and wickedness and immorality and all forms of godlessness on a scale that has never been seen before. The Gentile society that had been mightily affected by the gospel and had their lives transformed by the power of the gospel and their societies changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ for almost 2,000 years have now totally abandoned the gospel, and the spirit of atheism has come back with full force like never before. The Gentile world that was once Christianized have returned to their heathen status and have become a God-hating, Christian-hating, Bible-hating, righteousness-hating, morality-hating bunch of humanity, so much so that they are worse than the heathens of old, because the spirit of conviction has completely left the Gentiles. This proves that indeed we are at the end, because all the seeds are nearing harvest, including the serpent seeds, who have now matured. That is why the Western world have gone so atheistic that if you claim you saw a vision, you will immediately be considered a psychiatric case. For humanity is in absolute degeneration, total degeneration, as we speak. This is why tattoos and body modifications have now come back big time. Also, men wear earrings, and women wear rings in their noses and lace their ears with them, and they even wear rings or studs on their tongues and lips and eyebrows. They have the audacity to come to church looking that hideous, that grotesque, and still profess to be Christians. They also have the audacity to even stand behind the pulpit to declare the gospel, with tattoos all over their necks and hands, looking like the heathens of old. It is blasphemy. It is blasphemy for men that look like devils to come on the pulpit to declare a message of God, any message. It is blasphemy, and a total lack of the fear of God that makes these men do such things. Brothers and sisters, you have to see that something very serious has taken over the Gentile world. You have to see that of a truth, demons have taken over the human society as we speak. In the days of old, there was some morality in the society at large, a measure of morality that ruled the human society, and hence, there was neighborliness, and kindness, and mercy. Regardless of who you were, regardless of your beliefs, regardless of your race, there was neighborliness, societal harmony, and love. But today, it is a world that has gone completely insane, a dog-eat-dog world. It is a world filled with hatred, and evil, and violence, and wickedness, and as it stands today, common sense has been totally wiped away from humanity. It has been totally stripped, and man has become stupid. It is now a world of stupid. Look at Nigeria, for instance. The lawmakers are trying to pass a law, which they call hate speech. They want to bring the death penalty for hate speech, or a 10-year jail sentence for hate speech. However, it is the same political class, the ones that have continually and consistently looted the treasury of this country, whatever the government, for decades, who want to pass this law. We have no good roads. We have no pipe bomb water. We have no constant electricity. We have no jobs. We have no affordable homes. Food is very expensive, and the people are starving. We have no security of life and property. The government workers and the police are seriously underpaid, so much so that they cannot take care of their own families or even pay their rents, and the politicians who are looting the treasury of the government, completely impoverishing the masses, year in and year out, government in and government out, are the very ones wanting to make hate laws, because obviously that is their only priority. And obviously, that is what Nigeria desperately needs at this time. Brothers and sisters, if anyone should be given the death penalty, it is these stinking and godless politicians. They are talking about hate speech, but they bring untold misery upon the whole nation. They loot the treasury, always fight for positions, and they fight to corner every contract and every business deal, bringing abject poverty and incredible squalor upon the whole nation. But their concern is hate speech. And who is even making hateful speeches, if not the Islamic fundamentalists and jihadists? Yet, the obvious targets of hate speech are the Christians, not the Islamic fundamentalists who are given to hate speeches and who have been killing Christians like flies in the northern part of Nigeria, day in and day out, with total impunity. I will boldly say this morning, the politicians calling for this legislation have their senses under their shoes. They dare to prioritize hate speech as if hate speech is really what demands the death penalty. But that is precisely where their priorities lie. Lord have mercy on these miserable politicians. What about the poverty and the misery and the underdevelopment that the same class of politicians have put the whole nation through, day in and day out, year in and year out, government after government, whatever the form of government? Because of their extreme greed, incredible selfishness, and total lack of vision and care. Come on! Do these crooked politicians, men without conscience, not deserve the death penalty? That men would loot the treasury of their ministry, or government department, or parastatal, and still go to bed and sleep easy, sleep comfortably, and live in utter opulence, without any prick of conscience, despite the untold misery they are bringing upon the whole nation. You have to see that these men are under a demonic influence, for you must see the oppression of demons. Exactly. Because it is sheer wickedness and extreme evil-mindedness for men to put their nations in total misery just for their own personal gain. It is utterly satanic. Because there is something God put in humanity as a template of life, mercy, love, kindness, compassion, and consideration, which the devil has stripped from the class of human beings we have today who roam in this planet. I pray that as brethren, we will show mercy, compassion, and consideration for one another, for God expects us to make the difference by being absolutely different. For just as it was in Genesis, in the days of Noah, the heart of man today has also become continually evil. Man has become so evil, so wicked, so violent, so immoral, so selfish, so greedy, and so self-centered. However, may I say this, and please hear me loud and clear. All the things they are enjoying at the moment is only for a while. For when they cross over to the other side, they will meet their Maker, and then they will pay for all the evils they have brought upon humanity. Emperor Nero did not get away with all the evils he did, though he committed suicide, foolishly thinking he had evaded punishment. Emperor Caligula did not get away with all the evils he did. Chairman Mao Zedong of the Communist Republic of China did not get away with all the untold evil he committed against the Chinese people, killing over 36 million through the Great Leap Forward and the Great Famine. His starvation policy. Adolf Hitler, the German Chancellor, did not get away with all the evils he brought upon humanity during the Second World War, although he foolishly thought he could cheat judgment by committing suicide. King Leopold II of Belgium and Joseph Stalin, the former Premier of the Soviet Union, extremely cruel-hearted human beings, did not get away with all the evils they brought upon humanity, though they are all dead and were all celebrated in their lifetimes. For there is a day that has been reserved for all such characters, and it is called the White Throne Judgment. It is the day when all leaders and heads of states will be judged, along with all their cabinet ministers, for it is the day for the judgment of all ungodly humanity. Do not be deceived, the God of heaven and earth, the God of all creation, is going to bring this very rebellious and wayward generation, wicked souls, to judgment. Church, the reason we have a society that has gone completely berserk, totally out of kilter, the reason the human society is completely upside down, and is filled with chaos and frightening developments, with no security of life and property. The reason the whole world is in turmoil, and the world is groaning immensely and hopelessly this morning, is the oppression of demons, who have taken over humanity, turning man to less than beasts. For demons have embedded themselves in the human society, and hence, it is no longer men and women walking the streets tonight, but demons in humanity. Brothers and sisters, able-bodied men and women are killing themselves, committing suicide every day around the world, as they had to watch their children die, because they have no money to buy medicine, for they lost their jobs, and they just cannot get another job. They look at themselves, with no way out, for there is none to help, and because they do not have the hope that is in Jesus Christ, as individuals, they feel, I cannot continue like this. It is better I end this life, than to bury more of my children, for I am no longer of any help to them. They simply enter into their rooms, and after bidding their families good night, they take some pills, and pass to the other side. Why is this happening today around the world? Why are men committing suicide on an alarming scale around the globe? It is the oppression of demons, for the world is in turmoil, great turmoil, one that has no end or solution in sight. The hearts of men are failing them for fear of the terrible things that are coming upon the earth. For God allowed Satan and his fallen angels, whom we see in Revelation 12 verse 4a, demons, to embed themselves in the human society, creating a godless generation, a senseless and morally bankrupt generation, a wicked, mean, hateful, violent, inconsiderate, uncaring, selfish, and extremely greedy generation, a generation of humanity that have nothing humane about them, with no sense or conscience, being moral perverts, complete degenerates, unholy and godless creatures, a savage generation that are as mean and as fiendish as the devil himself. These are all vital signs of the end, evident signs of the coming of the great king. Psalm 48 verses 1 to 2. And the king is coming, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is coming, regardless of how much the world may deny it, and regardless of how much the world may hate this message and condemn it. The absolute fact remains that they cannot stop the return of Jesus Christ, no more than they could stop the flood of Noah. And we all know that they could not stop it, and they did not stop the flood of Noah. Brothers and sisters, unbelief does not hinder God. The unbelief of men cannot stop the plan of God, for the Lord God Almighty is sovereign. Unbelief only hinders the unbeliever. All that we see today on the earth points to only one absolute and immutable fact, and that is, Jesus Christ the King is coming. For he is the answer, the only answer to the humongous problems of the world, a world that is dying. He is the only answer to its extremely terrible and utterly tumultuous state. Please, make sure you are ready to meet him. Make your peace with God today. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the redeeming Son of God, before it is too late. For Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the only Savior. We will stop right here to continue with our message in the morning, by the grace of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. The Lord bless you.